Good morning, I'm Jacob Reimer. The United States men's national team wrapped up group stage play last night, falling to Turkey A 3-2 in a game that went down to the final minutes. Turkey A put the game-winning goal in the back of the net on the final kick of the game. The United States are still winners of Group D, finishing with 6 points. Team USA is on to the round of 32 against Bosnia-Herzegovina on July 1st. In hockey, a pair of moves were made by the Columbus Blue Jackets yesterday. First, they landed Valeri Nichushkin from the Avalanche in exchange for draft picks. Later, they traded for Luke Tuch of the Canadiens for Hunter McCown. The NHL draft is tonight. The CBJ are slated to pick 14th in the first round. Both the Reds and Guardians were off yesterday. Tonight, Cincinnati is at the Pirates, while Cleveland is hosting the Mariners. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tybus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the 5 best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tybus.
Welcome in. Happy Friday to you. I almost said happy Monday to you. And let me tell you, that would be a huge reset. No, no. It's a happy Friday to you. Hope you are, if you are just waking up, hopefully that buzzer didn't ruin your morning. I'm T-Bone. He's Tybus. Good morning. Go to hell. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing really well.
How's the little baby time going? All the sleep deprivation. You enjoying having like little to no sleep?
Well, I told you, the thing about me is, I'm a hard sleeper. So, like, a lot of the times, I don't really know that he wake up in the middle of the night until I get up and then I see, like, the diapers from my wife changing them through the middle of the night. So, I kind of can tell how many times he woke up. It was, like, 3 diapers sitting there. So, I was like, okay, he must have woke up 3 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's kind of how I know. But as I was leaving this morning... It's always, this must be his time. As I'm leaving this morning, my wife is wide awake. She's sitting up in the bed and she says, yep, he's sitting here with eyes wide open, just looking up at me. And I'm
yeah, that's like, those are moments that eventually, like, I see now little babies and I see people out with their kids, you know, like I'm talking like infants, like, mm-hmm. you know, baby Trace's age.
Yeah.
And I see them, I go, oh, I remember those days. I remember when these kids who I now am, they're basically their Uber driver, constantly driving them everywhere.
Yeah.
I remember when they were just that tiny and small, and that's like, that's where they were. They were self-contained. They were right there. That's all I had to think about. And then I remember how I would sometimes get those beautiful moments where the baby would look right up at you, make a little smile, and then you would smell the most foul thing you've ever smelled in your life and realize it's diaper time. And this would be at 3 a.m. after you'd been up for 2 hours with the baby that was perfectly content in your arms, but the second you set them down, crying and screaming.
Yeah.
And so I then remembered.
That's exactly where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm saying that's where I get annoyed when the people who will say, oh, remember those days because they go away. It's like, yeah, yeah, they do. But when you're in them,
but see,
they're a little rough.
Not necessarily true, because the phase that he's in now, when he cries, he's either diaper needs changed or he's hungry. Right. So like it's easy to figure it out. And he's not mobile.
Yes,
so like,
there's
if
that
I
too.
Set him down, he ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Now I'm in that stage right now.
When he is mobile, that's where it's like, all right, now you got to physically watch him because now he going to go get into something.
That's right.
Or you got to get in one of them prisons.
That's right. Jacob Reimer is filling in for Dylan today. And honestly, Rhyme Time, like, I met your daughter for like 2 minutes at the run at the Fan 5K that you came out to and everybody came out to. We appreciate everyone who was there. But yeah, I saw her in the 2 minutes I saw her. She like climbed up your back, was like trying to climb on your head.
Yep.
You were trying to do, you're doing the very dad thing where you're like trying to have a conversation as you're like trying not to let this tiny little human that you're responsible for fall off of your shoulders. And it was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about the days where they don't stop moving.
Yeah.
And you're just, when will you stop? And the answer is when they go to sleep.
She's all over the place right now. And yeah, we're right there too, asking that same question, because like last night she was up a little bit later because I think she slept a little bit earlier in the evening. So like it kind of pushed it into her bedtime. And so then she stayed up a little bit later. And we think that she's teething again. and she's in a lot of pain with that. Yeah. So is not wanting. She's just wanting to be held all the time, and not like not wanting to go to the crib. Just wants to be with us. And it's like, no, you got to do that. You got to fight through it. I'm sorry.
I know. It's crazy. And it, I mean, like, this is as a parent now who like. All of my kids are out of diapers. They're all full. Like they can all go do their own thing.
I was
there's not a lot of help with that. Yes.
Hey, you know what we said? Let's mess this up.
That's right.
This is it.
It is.
Once little tsunami learns how to control his stuff, we good.
Yeah.
Never again have to buy a diaper, no formula, none of that. This is the last ride.
By the way, LW in the chat said, if Nate and Jacob can book guests, Dylan will be out of a job. Their reads are great. better watch it, Dylan. Better watch it. People coming for that job.
Dylan knows that he's the worst at read and SportsCenter updates.
Yeah, he. That's fine. He's. You know what? I think vastly improved. But yes, he is very aware of it.
I was setting the tone for the day with that read too, just with all the different wild names,
hockey
that were
names
in there.
We get a couple Russian name in there is always a challenge, right? We'll talk a little bit about Don Waddell. Hey, he had some comments on that. Also, just to get us started on a Friday, I saw this interview of a Japanese soccer fan. I believe Japan was in Dallas, if I'm not mistaken, for their game.
Yeah, it was Dallas.
Yeah, they played yesterday against Sweden. Very compelling game. I watched that was, by the way, that was my 26th World Cup game I have sat down and watched so far this tournament.
You keep count.
I actually did. I printed up a list and I went back and counted all the ones, not the ones where I checked in. Like last night, I'll be honest, the U.S. national team game, I didn't get to watch the full thing. I stayed up for about the first 20 minutes and then passed out.
That's shame.
I woke up
what
today.
What a quitter.
I know. I felt bad.
Quitter.
I feel like I should
sit here teasing it. I'm going to take a nap.
I wanted to take a nap yesterday. Guess what didn't happen?
Watch the whole thing.
Guess what didn't happen?
Did you take the nap?
No.
Good for you.
No, I had to mow grass and do other stuff.
Yeah, because it's going to rain today. So I know. You better get it done.
Hey, stop that. I have a tea time after this. Don't put that into the evening.
No, it's supposed to rain later today.
Okay, good. Keep that away.
Jacob's been looking forward to this. Rhyme Time's been like, he told me that on Tuesday, I think we were talking. Yeah. He were like, "Yeah, I'm so loving this schedule on Thursday and Friday because Friday I'm going to go out and hit the links like right after the show." And I was like, "That is, it's a perfect thing to do when you do a morning radio show."
It's potentially supposed to hit at like 3 o'clock, I believe.
That would be right as I'm finishing. So perfect.
I promise you. I was selfishly. I knew like I was glad the World Cup was here, but once I switched to doing mornings, I then looked at the schedule when the World Cup schedule came out, and I said, "Why couldn't it have been in like Europe this time?" Because then. All the game times would be like 4 a.m., 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 12, like noon. That would have been the latest game they would have had is like noon. And that would be perfect for morning show guy. Now, all of these games, a lot of the big ones are at 8, 9 o'clock at night on a weeknight.
Watch it on the weekends.
Tough. Yeah, but the games aren't going on the weekends. So I've watched 26 World Cup games,
T-bone,
not staying up late.
T-bone. They literally had, it wasn't yesterday the day they had a double 3 o'clock, a double 6 o'clock, and a double 10 o'clock?
They did.
Okay,
you
could have watched 4 games.
Well, I watched it. No, I watched 2 of them. I didn't want to deviate. I didn't want to go like to watch both of them at the same time. I wanted to pick one and watch it. So I watched Japan and Sweden. That was one of the games I was watching.
Who was you rooting for? Because you're like a fair weather fan.
Well,
right, you just picking teams, and this is who I'm rolling with today.
This may come as a surprise to you.
When you
look at me, you may not know this, but
the whites are good.
Sweden is from my dad's side, is all like Swedish ancestry. Like his great grandmother came over on a boat to Ellis Island from Sweden. So like that's his ancestry.
So you were, who won the game?
It was tie. It was a 1-1 tie, I believe.
You think that's okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Let me get this right. You watch
That's loser talk.
Watch 2 hours.
Sorry, that could be.
To watch two teams
talk.
Not lose.
No. Or two teams
or not
win. However you want to look at it.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, no, I've done that. You know what? I've done it for the last 30 years with a team that you cover called the Cleveland Browns, where I watched many damn games where I watched the Browns play and like they play some other crap ass team. And I was like, you know what? No one deserves to win this stupid game. But because in football, they let you have little half touchdowns called field goals where it's like, did you get anywhere close to the end zone? No, but we'll give you 3 points for kicking it from 50 yards away. Then you get points to break up so it doesn't end in a tie.
You remember when 50 yards used to be like far?
Oh, yeah, I know. That's
a chip shot.
That's half the field.
That's a chip shot.
They're like, if you can't, you don't even have to get halfway to a touchdown, we will give you 3 points if you can hit this field goal. That's like in soccer. Soccer doesn't do this. You actually have to earn the touchdown. You have to get to the end zone. You have to score the goal. If in soccer they had, hey, if you bounce it off the post, you get like a third of a point. Then that would be like what the NFL does and what college football does.
You just keep playing until somebody wins.
No, but we don't.
Like hockey.
In football.
They tie in hockey.
By the way, they tie in. Well, now they have shootouts because we can't, God forbid, we end in ties. But the NFL does end in ties. It happens every year.
I know. I've been a part of one in my life.
Right. And
one.
Did your team deserve to win that day? No. And did the other team deserve to win that day? No.
Let me tell you what happened. So I was playing for the Seahawks. We played the Cardinals. It was a dang shame that this game ended in the tie. We went into overtime.
Uh-huh.
I think they got the ball first.
Uh-huh.
They drove it down the field.
Uh-huh.
They field goal kicker missed.
Uh-huh.
We get
didn't
the ball.
Do his job.
We get the ball.
Yeah.
We go downfield.
Yeah.
Our field goal kicker missed.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is unbelievable. Nobody wanted to win, so we tied. And then when you,
there you go.
When you come in, when you come in the next day, you just it's a weird feeling.
No. It's valid.
No.
You
it's
both
weird.
Earned it. You
it's
both weird. Earned the tie because
we
neither
sat there
of you
like,
neither
we
of you
didn't
did
lose,
enough.
But we didn't win.
Yeah, you should have to sit with that feeling.
Nah.
Sometimes in life, that's how we have to sit.
No.
Yeah, sometimes you have to realize.
Loser talk.
No, it's not. It's actually, it can't be loser talk because no one lost. So there you go. It's not loser talk. It's called be better and win the game.
I expected better out of you. You really, you're breaking my heart.
Well, I did hear this Japan soccer interview. This is why I brought up Japan, Sweden, because he's in Dallas. The Dallas Morning News was interviewing him, or some news station there was interviewing him. And this is a little bit of the interview where the guy basically is holding up a sign that says he has no money and no time off left at work, but he's still here. This is the Japan
sign. You're from Tokyo. Are you out of money?
I haven't money.
You got any PTO?
Oh my God, PTO. I haven't.
You haven't missed any Japan games?
And so, yes, of course. Oh, Japan match.
What about your memories?
Bad? Memory is infinity. Thank you. Please, PTO. PTO.
He said PTO.
He doesn't want to go back to work. He's having a good time.
He doesn't want to go back to work.
I just put that in for you because of this.
PTO. PTO.
He obviously doesn't love what he does.
No, he loves this more.
No.
Some things are better than your stupid job, like going to see your favorite soccer team or your whatever it is. Like, you can have things outside of work.
People are driving to work right now. Listen to us.
And you know what they're looking forward
to? They're looking for updates.
They're looking forward to 4 p.m. or 3:30 or 5 o'clock or whatever the hell they get out. That's what everybody's working for the weekend, Tyvus. That's what they're looking forward to today. I'm telling you. That's fine. And
be where your feet are.
Yeah, you know what? I hope some of you have a beach vacation planned.
BTO.
We all need that. We all need it. All right. Don Waddell, director of hockey ops for your Columbus Blue Jackets. He talked a lot yesterday. Did he reassure the fan base? You'll hear what he said next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, for our friends heading out to New Albany, we've got a crash on 161 eastbound. The right lane blocked off just past Little Turtle Way, and we're seeing those delays just past 270 as you head eastbound on 161. I'm 10 TV's Amy Stagerwald with your fan traffic.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Areas of fog this morning, otherwise mostly cloudy with wake-up temperatures in the 60s. Then for this afternoon, we will see skies remain mostly cloudy with highs in the upper 70s. Chances of showers and thunderstorms return this afternoon and evening, some which could have heavy downpours and gusty winds. That will continue overnight with our lows down into the 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
In terms of the Waffle House menu, Tyvus covered and smothered his opponents. Meanwhile, T-Bone is a chunk of hash who's often covered in gravy. I'm not sure what that means either. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Allá viene el centro, balón cayendo de cabeza.
That is the call from Telemundo. That is Ecuador scoring their late winner to make it 2-1 against Germany. They upset Germany. Ecuador, if you're not familiar, is staying in Columbus. I don't know if they arrived back last night or if they stayed in New York and partied.
Why Columbus?
Well, they do this. Like, all these teams have their training camp, like, somewhere.
Theirs is in Columbus.
Yeah, but, like, Algeria's was in like Lawrence, Kansas, randomly. And then they've had other teams have been other places, but yeah, they're all over. All these teams that are here have to stay somewhere in the U.S. so they can have like a practice facility, a place to like get treatment, hotel, dinner, all that stuff. So Ecuador is our team. We have them here in Columbus.
Who is the team that yesterday we seen the highlights and they was turning up in the stands?
That was Norway.
Oh, Norway. Yeah. I think they play today. I believe Norway and France are playing today.
They're
playing in Boston or New England, because where the Travelers Championship, the golf tournament is, there Victor Hovland was playing well yesterday, and he's from Norway.
Oh.
And every time he did something good, you just heard a loud cheer for him. So sounded like there were some Norwegian fans supporting their guy.
No, that's great. Yeah, Norway and France are playing today at 3:00. That one's on Fox as alongside Senegal and Iraq. That's the four teams in that group. But yeah. So Ecuador yesterday, if they lose that game, they're probably not staying in the World Cup.
You counted them out.
I thought they were done. They had to go play Germany. I'm like, I said yesterday, see you later, guys. And they had a fantastic game. I watched that whole thing. So glad to see our Columbus World Cup team getting the job done, staying in the tournament. So very cool stuff for them. And they played awesome in that game. Fantastic stuff to see. So I hope they're having a good time in Columbus. You may see them around.
Maybe they listened and they took it personally.
I hope they did. You know what? Just like Ryan Day. When I called him out after four straight losses to Michigan, that's the only reason Ohio State went on to win that national championship was because of me and Common Man yelling about it in afternoons. I've been told this by so many fans who are like, goodness. Thank you guys for motivating them. Like, I don't think that's what did it, but hey, I'll take that if that's what you think happened. But yeah, anyway, so Ecuador, they win yesterday. U.S. men's national team did not win yesterday. They played Turkey. They lost 3-2. That game, Tyvus, I did get up this morning and finish off watching the rest of it.
Because you're a quitter.
Yeah, I didn't stay up last night because I had to do this job.
You went to sleep.
I fell asleep. I didn't do it on purpose.
I just understand how one teases something the whole show.
I was going
and then
to.
Don't do it.
Because then life you happened and my kids needed to go places.
You're not a man of your word.
Apparently not. Look at it.
The United States needed your support last night, and you failed us.
Well, here's what I want to put in perspective for everybody.
What were you doing, Tyvus?
I didn't commit to it. I told you what I was going to do.
Okay. Like the $1,000 bet that you didn't commit to with Joshua Perry? Is that right?
No, I said he bet what? Ooh. He told me he'd give me $1,000. I never said that I would give him $1,000 if I did.
It was a bet. If when you bet someone, it's like obviously implied that the other side is on the line.
We bet $1,000 to a donut.
I never heard donut once. I didn't hear donut once in that discussion, but whatever. U.S. lost 3-2 to Turkey yesterday. So then I get up this morning and all the articles are, oh, the momentum's gone. They suck. They're bad. Everything sucks now. And no, that's stupid. What I will tell you is yesterday, Mauricio Pochettino, the coach for the U.S. national team, had two choices, Tyvus, two. One was play the entire team that had been playing the first two games in this meaningless for future endeavors game, but not meaningless to try to win it. He could have played all these guys that played the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
And what would have happened if one of those guys got a leg to the ankle and comes up gimpy and limpy? Everyone would have said, what was he doing? Why did he play all the starters? This game was pointless.
That's exactly what would have happened.
So they would say that,
but that's not the point.
He opted to do that. He opted to say, I'm going to be smart. And because the eyes on the prize, the main goal here is to go as far as you can in the World Cup. Winning that game yesterday does nothing for getting you further in the World Cup. What it does do is give you a chance to get guys healthy, get guys rested, and get guys who need minutes, like Christian Pulisic, who'd been injured. He got back in the game. He came in yesterday, played for about 30 minutes, looked really sharp. So that's a really good sign for the U.S. But it was tied 2-2 late in the game, and then Turkey A scored in the like final thing that happened in the game.
Let me ask
they
you,
scored in like this 8th minute of stoppage time about to get that 3-2 win.
About this Christian Pulisic, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying he's the best player on the United States
team. That dude. He plays for AC Milan in Italy, and like people have been asking about getting his services, and AC Milan was like, he's not for sale. Like, we're not,
there's no
the
price.
Browns said, Miles Garrett, for sale. Christian Pulisic, AC Milan, big Italy club said, not for sale.
So let me get this right. So
that's how good he is.
So, like, you can tell. So, you know, this is the thing I like about sports, because there's always somebody in sports that's just better than other people. And you can see it when they get out there on the field. It's the way they move, the way they play. It's just different. You telling me when Christian Pulisic went out there, it just was like, God has come back.
Oh, dude. Ball came to him, like one of his first touches. He instantly, like, hit it off his chest, got it to the ground, beat a guy, got a shot on goal. Didn't go in, but, like, they hadn't had it.
It was that simple.
It was, like, lightning as soon as he got in there. Like, there are great players on this U.S. national team. There are a lot of good players. He's the best. Like, he has been the chosen one. He has been that way since he was, like, 14. They've been saying, this dude is that deal. Watch out for him. And now I think he's, I don't know, in his mid-20s, maybe like 24, 25. He is that deal.
He's just a little young warthog.
Dude, he's been the promised one for years. So, like, it's great to see him actually paying off on
that. LeBron?
He's not LeBron. No one's LeBron.
Promised one.
He may be the greatest player U.S. soccer's ever produced. Anyway.
What?
Yeah, that's how good he is. He may be the greatest U.S. soccer player in the history of the program.
You get your own cup at McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm still looking for it.
And I have that.
You got it?
I do have that.
Well done. I'm so mad.
He's such a child.
I got effing Grimace.
Dude, I will trade you my whole snack pack for that.
You want Grimace?
Yeah. Let me ask you. Do you have a 9-month-old who's insanely invested in Grimace yet? If she's not, she may love this cup with the purple guy on it. I'm willing to trade for a Christian Pulisic. No, but he looked good last night. U.S. national team decided to go the other way of rest everybody. That's fine. I don't believe in the momentum thing. I don't believe in any of that. I believe let's have your best guys ready to go to play when it comes.
Momentum.
I don't believe in it that the U.S. has to rely on that.
This is the type of thing. The Knicks just did it.
Knicks did have momentum. I agree with
you. Yeah.
They never had a game, though, where if they had put in the starters and one of them got hurt, people would say, why'd you put in all the starters? This was a game where everyone would have said, why did you put in the starters? So good for Mauricio Pochettino doing what he did.
So you would have rested your players.
Dude, they played Turkey A with their backups and had this game tied. Like, then they had chances to win and they just didn't convert them. Like, they played mostly with their backups and tied a team that everyone thought was the second best team in this group.
Jamaica would
this
never.
I'm just trying to put perspective on it as a longtime U.S. national team fan. Like, this is not problems I'm used to having as a U.S. soccer fan. I'm not used to having this. Usually you have to put your best team out there to have a chance to beat anyone. Now they put their not best team out there and still had this game tied and probably could have won it. Unfortunately, Turkey ended up getting the winning goal, but it's all good. Moving forward, they play Bosnia-Herzegovina coming up on Wednesday at 8 p.m. So that's the next time for U.S. national team. All right, we didn't quite get to it. I started talking soccer. That's my bad. We will get to Don Waddell. He talked to the media and Rothman and Ice yesterday. You will hear what he said about all things Zach Werenski in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday. Right now we are still watching delays on 161 eastbound. This is because of a crash right near Little Turtle Way. The right lane blocked off and that traffic delayed as you push into the 270-161 split on the northeast side heading eastbound. Everything else looking nice and clear. I'm 10TV's Amy Stuggerwald with your Fan Traffic.
Dublin. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. No, I've never heard of the band on T-Bone's shirt either. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Jackets had a lot going on yesterday. Trades were made, one of which included Valerie Nichushkin coming over from Colorado to the Blue Jackets in return for picks. Now, just looking at the player involved, the guy, what's going on over there? You okay?
I forgot to cut the volume back down on the thing.
There's random noise coming over there. Valerie Nichushkin, though, coming over from Colorado. So he, at one time, Tyvus, back a couple years ago in the playoffs, he looked like a guy who you could argue was, I don't think it's unfair to say, a top 20 player in the league. Mm. In the playoffs, like, I think it was that 2022 Stanley Cup run where he looked phenomenal. Like, yeah, unbelievable player for them. Then had a couple issues during the playoffs where he was not available or not good or both. And one of those issues included a woman at the team hotel showing up in his hotel room, apparently so out of it and drunk or otherwise, that hotel staff were worried and had to like have her taken to the hospital. She apparently tried to like assault, because the team doctors came over to look at her too, because the team was there in the lobby getting ready to go to the game. Mm-hmm. And she apparently like tried to hit one of the guys. Anyway, that whole story ended up with him not playing anymore in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And
oh, he had to sit out because of that.
Well, suddenly he just wasn't playing and they didn't say why. And they kind of said it's like, oh, personal matters away from the team. Mm. Right as that all happened, coincidentally enough. So these are the issues that this guy had off the ice. If you go ask Avs fans, did that help you win a Stanley Cup? The answer would be no. Like, they had a Stanley Cup when he was on the ice. And then the next couple of years, some off the ice drama, he was one of the guys that was a distraction, not a builder. Now, when he's on the ice, he's fantastic. He is definitely a guy who moves the puck, scores goals, big frame guy, gets in front of the net. He will help this Blue Jackets team score goals. But it's hard for me not to, as a Blue Jackets fan, look at what could be the downside of this player, because this franchise always seems to find the downside of the player. See Patrick Laine for further evidence of that if you need it, among other players. But that's what I worry about with this dude. If he's good mentally off the ice, then he'll be good on the ice. If all the off-ice issues don't follow him here, he'll be very good on the ice, you would think. But
well, maybe,
big question.
Maybe I'm getting a new fresh start in a new city, you know, that kind of can help that situation out. Some people just need a change of scenery, you know, for that. But I mean, when you look at it from a Jackets perspective, they need scoring. They need more people on different lines to be able to produce scoring. You know, you got Kirill Marchenko as the right winger, but then once he goes out, now you're the next guy you're waiting on. You know, you have Mason Marchment, but we don't know if he's going to be back, and all these guys. You got a guy who put up 42 points last season or something? No, 49 points last season, which, if you put that with the Blue Jackets, that would put him at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, I mean, he's
a phone a team.
He's a top six player, right? So, I mean, that's what you need.
That's kind of what I understand why they did it. Like, they're trying to get more depth on the lines. They're trying to get more scoring. We always talk about wings, having a wing, you know, when Kirill Marchenko goes out. So hopefully we get a good version of him, a refreshed version of him.
I like how you've become so like baptized in Jackets lore, where you said when Kirill Marchenko goes out, which is the correct answer, because it's not if, it's when. Yeah, that's right. You make good points, Tyvus. Like, on the ice, look, here's the other thing that's positive about this.
I didn't mean it like that.
No, you did. And it's, you know what?
You did.
You did, and it was right. It was correct. It was the correct assumption. Now, I will say the best thing about this move for me is that you gave up zero like actual players. It was all picks that they gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Waddell, I got some comments from him. So he had a press conference yesterday, and then right after the press conference, I believe he got on with Rothman and Ice. So we'll play a little bit of both. But here is Don Waddell addressing the fact that he knows there's some stuff here with Zach Werenski, and was asked about, are you planning to meet with Zach Werenski? What is the latest on that situation? Is there some fire to where this smoke seems to be coming from? This is what he said in the press conference.
I think for right now, there's some matters that we're dealing with that should probably stay internal. My plan is still to meet with Zach here in the near future and see where he's at. But, you know, we've had some conversations with his agent, but there's been no definitive plan for sure.
Okay. So that did not make me feel great when I read those quotes, and then I heard them, and then I'm listening to them again now. Doesn't feel awesome. Feels like maybe there's something there.
I told you, if there's smoke, there's fire.
I didn't want to believe there could be some fire there, but maybe there is. I don't know. He was then asked about what type of packages he would be looking for. What are they looking for if they do trade some players? The draft, by the way, is tonight.
Austin Matthews.
Sure. Could they trade a player to get like another pick in the draft tonight? Here is what Don Waddell said.
No. Well, first of all, with any of our players right now, I get calls about players. It's my job to take the calls. I'm not making the calls, but I take the calls. And I've told everybody, regardless of who we're talking about, we're not talking about draft picks at this point, because if we're going to trade any players off our team, we need players. To trade any player for first round picks, and that sounds good, but it doesn't do any good for us in the next few years. So I don't think the draft in this particular case has any impact on what we do with them.
I mean, that is the exact thing I want to hear from Don Waddell. I'm glad to hear that.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
You don't need to go. I mean, I hope they move this 14th pick for something. Like,
hold on.
Get rid of these picks.
What we're not going to do is sit here and act like last year it was rumored, oh, they're going to trade those picks.
I agree with you.
Oh, they got two of them. They're going to trade those picks. Guess what? They selected both picks.
I agree with you.
I ain't really, you know, I'm not even going to entertain what he just said.
I agree with that. But we're coming from a regime, the previous regime, when Jarmo Kekäläinen was here, where it felt like all we kept hearing about was like, gang, we can't just think about this year. We have to look long term. We have to build. We have to build. We have to build. And it's like, great. And every year the Jackets were the youngest team in the NHL. Youngest team in the NHL. Pipeline is strong. Oh, my God, these prospects. You wait till they get here. And some of those guys have hit. One of them is a guy like Zach Werenski. However, if you don't end up ever getting those, if you always get picks and you never get players, when your team is on the cusp of making the playoffs, that's the time to go get players and say, F them kids, F them picks. We don't need them. We don't have to have that.
I agree with you.
So I'm glad that this is the tenor this offseason from Don Waddell. But you're right.
Last year,
Jackson Smith got drafted last year. You're exactly right. Yeah.
Does it make you a little bit worried that where Werenski is currently at, like just won the Norris Trophy, like he's at the top of his position in the sport, that there might be a little bit more motivation to trade him because you're going to get the best while he's at this level?
Well, I think it's if he wants to be here, obviously you keep it. But yes, if he wants to leave, you can't not trade him for something. Like if they meet and he says, yeah, I don't really see it as a future here. Oh, then I'm the highest bidder for sure. This is perfect. He actually doing us a favor.
Well, and that right. If that is where it ends up, and I don't want it to end up that way, right?
I hope it doesn't either. But if that's where he's at, then this is the perfect time to trade him.
Regardless, what I'm not hearing from Don Waddell, at least in all these comments so far, is I'm not hearing him say, guys, it's not just about, you know, right now. It's about 5 years from now. We got to think about the future. It's like, no, you do have to think about the future. But teams that have good players go win games. Then other players want to come join them when they're free agents. That's the biggest hurdle the Jackets still have to overcome, is getting mostly free agents in the NHL do not have the Jackets on a list that they say, I got to go to Columbus. They do have Raleigh, North Carolina on that list, though, because they win and they've been very good. And obviously, you know, winning Stanley Cup does great things for you. But even being competitive in the Stanley Cup playoffs does a lot of good things for you, too. The Jackets can have that by being competitive, where you don't always have to go, don't worry, guy, 3 years from now, we'll see Caden Lindstrom. Like, maybe he'll be here and be good. Like, I don't need that. I need players who can come in and play right now.
I wonder how he's doing.
What I like about the sound that
Don Waddell said, by the way, for what it's worth, on Rothman and Ice, he was asked that. He did say, strong, healthy, good. He's in the building working out. Don't know when he's going to join up with the team, but maybe this is a year he does. I don't know.
What about
year
Jackson, three? Jackson Smith, we got to wait till he's done with college. And
I don't know.
We got 3 years left.
I don't know if it's that, but it might be probably back to college this year is what it sounds like. Sorry. Go ahead, Jacob.
What I do like about the sound that you just played about him wanting to get more players if a trade is made, and it's kind of like everyone's taking the Sam Presti approach with the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Paul George trade, because that's what Andrew Berry got advice on the Myles Garrett trade. Like, get a young elite player and picks. And so, like, maybe that's an angle that if they do make a trade, Waddell can go after somebody that has a young up-and-coming superstar that then you can build that around for the next 5 years, and you get additional picks with it. Because, like, I feel like that's been the trend with some of these bigger trades. Like, you're getting a young star player and picks, and that's like why the Thunder are at the top of the NBA.
Yeah. I don't know that even that might be a little bit. It seems like we'll see what he does, right? Don Waddell making moves yesterday, which is good, because I was getting a little worried. Need more moves to happen. But it has to be, if you do make moves for play, like if they trade someone, I hope not of a Werenski status, but if you do move a player like a Kirill Marchenko, let's say, you better get three.
You want to move?
There's Kirill talks Marchenko? About it. They're listening on everybody, man, because it's
why? Because he get hurt. Is that what it is?
Might be that. But just reality is there's people calling.
They got Nichushkin now. All of a sudden they Cuda.
Oh, you know what? There's more audio from Don Waddell that kind of talks about this. We'll play it when we come back. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and happy Friday. We are still watching some slight delays on 161 eastbound just past Little Turtle Way as crews clear out a crash that's blocking the right lane right now. Everything else, though, looking nice and clear. No other major crashes that we're watching. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan Traffic
Lives. Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Two men, one appendix. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Oh, man, I wish y'all could hear T-Bone. T-Bone might possibly be top three funniest people that work at this station. It's amazing.
Hold on a second. Top three funniest people at this station?
Yeah. Well, you think you won?
Well, you were gassing me up. I thought it was going to be like top three funniest people I've ever met.
You don't think a lot of
three funniest people in my life.
Are you saying that a lot of people at this station aren't funny?
No, what I'm saying is you're saying you didn't say he definitely is. You said he might be top three funniest people at this radio station.
Ready to go.
How dare you?
Okay.
I'm offended.
You know,
I got to work hard. No, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at me. I got to work hard. Apparently I got to be funnier. I apparently didn't know I was so low on the totem pole here. My co-host had no idea. That's fine. I'll work through it.
Who you behind me and Common Man?
Okay, so that's you didn't say. You said might. I'll take that. That's a good top three.
Behind
but you
me
said
and
might.
Common Man.
You said might, and that's what Tito's beating me. That's come on.
Tito is hilarious.
Tito is hilarious. I agree with that. He actually is funny. He's in my top three.
I thought that you might exclude yourself from the list if it's.
Oh, Tyvus doesn't exclude himself from any list.
At the station.
I'll exclude myself, and then I'll put Tito in my spot.
Okay, gotcha.
There's no chance of that. So this is interesting. Rothman and Ice yesterday, it was Dave Biddle was filling in for Matty Ice, but Rothman was there, and he'd had Don Waddell on. After this press conference where Don Waddell kind of talked about Zach Werenski and talked about how, you know, if you've missed it, he said, yeah, we got to talk. There's some stuff we're going to keep in-house right now, but we're working through it, and it didn't come off as like, oh, there's no chance he's getting traded. There's no chance he wants to leave. We're all in the same. That was not the tenor of that discussion.
Listen, all I say when I hear like stuff, it came from somewhere. Like, it's been many off seasons and nobody ever said Zach Werenski was getting traded. It wasn't like a rumor or anything like that. So therefore, now that it is, oh, he had a conversation with somebody.
I don't know that that's the case.
That's how I see it.
Here's what I look at. The NHL, because here's what the NHL media does. They ignore everything that happens in Columbus. The only things they tend to give a lot of attention to is when there's a cannon that fires in the arena, they write about how much they hate it. They talk about why nobody would ever want to go live in Columbus because it's a terrible town, even though none of them have really ever visited here.
They think
they all live
Columbus
in Toronto.
Is a terrible town.
There's a lot of that in the NHL.
Dang, that's messed up.
Like the guy writing that lives in Ottawa or whatever, and it's like, well, okay, I'm sure Ottawa's fine. It's the Canadian capital, right? But I don't know that Ottawa's necessarily
Columbus
better
is
or worse
Ohio's
than Columbus.
Capital.
Right. That's right. By the way, Ohio's better than Canada for what it's worth. I'm just saying. Anyway, point is, they'll write all these elitist think pieces about how Columbus has nothing to offer, but then like they also won't pay attention to the guys here who play well. Like when Zach has been probably the best defenseman in the league the last couple years, they don't give him the flowers. Finally this year, it's undeniable that he's the best guy. He gets the award, and then it's instantly, oh yeah, there's no way the Norris Trophy winner is going to stay in Columbus. And it's like, well, all right, why? None of them could offer any real reporting on that. They just said, well, I don't think he'd want to be there. Look, his best friend Dylan Larkin wanted out of Detroit, so clearly Zach Werenski wants out of Columbus.
I don't know what that has to do.
That was the best connection that I could see to it. So I was hoping Don Waddell yesterday when he stepped into the podium was going to say, Yeah, man, that's all outside noise. Me and Zach are great. We're good. No worries.
And what'd he tell you?
What he did say, and I look, I understand where he's coming from. He basically said, if this guy will not commit to like being here long term,
oh,
and
that's business. It's just business.
But it's also, that's right. If he's not going to commit to being here long term, I need to know that because I need to get the most back for him. And that's a real conversation. Now, here's the other interesting thing. So Rothman asked him yesterday if, and this is, I heard this question. I thought it was great. He said, is 2026 almost like a show me year for the Jackets to Zach Werenski? Right? Like a way to say, okay, like you want to see that
like
we're
Joe
serious.
Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Like you want to see that we're serious. Let me show you. Look at this offseason we're about to put together.
Okay. Here's what, now that I respect.
Yeah. Well, here's what Don Waddell had to say about that thought.
Well, winning always helps everything, right? Let's face it. We've made big strides the last 2 years, but we still haven't got the ultimate goal of getting in the playoffs. So, you know, that's our goal when we start the season, obviously, is put ourselves in a position to compete for the Stanley Cup. And, you know, you can talk to players forever, and players want to be parts of successful organizations. So certainly that would be a big step in our favor if we can make the right moves to put us in that position to take that step.
I love the candor from Don Waddell, and maybe that's why I tend to like him a little bit more than some of the other GMs we've had around here.
Is he a straight shooter?
Yeah, because there were so many GMs that I've heard from in the past. I mean, Yarmo's the one that's most recent. I felt like a lot of times with Yarmo, it was just like, well, we're a good, or like, I feel like a question like that would have been shot down as, we don't need to prove anything to anybody. These players should know what we are about. They you know, like that kind of stuff.
You can't say that
And again, I don't want to put words in Yarmo's mouth, but it feels like the attitude sometimes around this team has been, why would a player ever want to leave? I don't understand. We do everything right here. His answer was very realistic, which was that helps and players want to win.
Yeah.
Of course they do, as it should be. And so I don't,
you know what I worry about?
I don't think that's a bad answer, but it does make you realize Zach Werenski's, you know, tenure here is not just locked in guaranteed for the next 10 years, rest of his career. Clearly.
You know, one thing I worry about with the Jackets is that whenever they do make it to the playoffs, I don't want them to celebrate the fact that they made it to the playoffs.
100%
And I can see
agree.
It, I can see it now where it's like, we've been so close these last couple of seasons where we kind of lost it at the end that when they make it, they can be like, see, we did it. Celebration. Like, you know, set off the cannon like that. And then like nothing happens in the playoffs. Like that to me is deflating as well.
What does that sound like to you?
Don't say
exactly. I agree with you.
I can see it coming and I don't want it to happen.
Well, here's what I would say to that though. I mean, Don Waddell has been a part of winning organizations. Rick Bonus has been a part of winning organizations. They didn't sign Rick Bonus up to come back here. Charlie Coyle won like Stanley Cups. Like he's never missed the playoffs until this year. I don't think guys like that being a part of the leadership here are guys that would say, yeah, man, just get into the playoffs, job done. Like, and I know no NHL player actually says that, right? But be lying to yourself if there aren't guys in pro sports who go, everybody wanted to see us make the playoffs. What do you got to say now? Made the playoffs. And then there are guys in sports who say making the playoffs is like job. That's like one step on the steps of where we want to go. It's not the end goal. And I'm with you that if they ever, you know, they should have been in the playoffs one of these last 2 years.
For sure.
So now the fan base, regardless of where the, you know, other people may have this team calibrated outside of Columbus, this fan base has us calibrated as, not only should you have been in the playoffs, you should have won a playoff series.
Yeah.
The fact that you didn't doesn't change the fact that this year, if you get into the playoffs and get swept out 4-0, or you're barely an 8 seed and you get annihilated by like the eventual Stanley Cup winner, that's because you didn't do enough. And I think there should still be accountability from the fan base if that happens. They're going to make moves this summer. They already did make one yesterday, obviously. But if they just get to the playoffs and then high-five each other and start, you know, what's that little meme with the guy on the medal stand who's got like the third place medal and he's like celebrating and the other two guys above him are just standing there like looking at him like an idiot? You can't do that.
I don't want the Blue Jackets to like Cleveland Cavaliers this thing.
Absolutely.
Meaning,
yes,
the Cavs, if you ask the Cavs front office about what they've done in the playoffs these last few years, they'll say, oh, we gotten further every year. What are you talking about? We've improved every year. We got one step closer to the championship every year.
I hate it.
It's a process.
Well,
and I would look at the team and say, look at the team that you had. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah. Hey, the trend shows that next year they're getting
to the
finals.
Get out of here with that. Until next year. Until next year.
Until next year.
That trend has happened until next year.
Yeah. But your point, I'm with you, Tyvis, that like it's not enough for me when you have a team that has enough to get to the playoffs to then say, well, I don't know, we improve slightly every year. This is professional sports, man. You can go out and get a team full of ringers and go make a run at it any single year. Injuries come into play, stuff you can't control comes into play, but go out and put a good roster together with enough depth to it in pro sports. You may have to mortgage your future. But you know what? At this point, it's been 25 years of past that has sucked in Columbus, largely. So I don't really care about the future in Columbus when it comes to the Jackets. I care about the now. 25 years of losing is where most Jackets fans are saying,
yeah,
I want now to be good, not 5 years possibly to be good.
Honestly, I think all of Ohio professional sports teams is all in the same boat to where it's like, you've always had these guys who's like, well, I'm trying to make this thing last. I want to be good for a large amount of time. Like, I don't want to just win the championship 1 year and then stink the next year, like 20 years after that. And everybody in Ohio is like, we don't care.
No.
Give us the one.
It's not necessarily the fault of everyone who's here now. Like, with your Browns analogy, it's not necessarily Andrew Berry's fault that the Browns have sucked since 1999, but he's been here long enough that they shouldn't suck anymore. Don Waddell, it's not his fault that the Jackets have been craptastic for 25 years, mostly. But he's here now, and he's had a few years with it. It's time to go.
I'm at the point. Let's just push all the chips in. Let's go in. Let's just get the one. And then if we stink for 25 years after
God.
At least we can say we got one.
Oh, I would trade a Stanley Cup for 30 years of never making the playoffs again. Just give me one Stanley Cup. I want to see it. I want to see it for this city. That'd be incredible. I'm totally with you. A lot of talk in the media yesterday. We have some Ross Bjork audio coming up, but also that NFL player accused of kidnapping. Well, he's going to be in jail for a while. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvis on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and happy Friday. We are still watching some slight delays on 161 eastbound just past Little Turtle Way as crews clear out a crash that's blocking the right lane right now. Everything else, though, looking nice and clear. No other major crashes that we're watching. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan Traffic.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Jacob Reimer. Group stage play in the World Cup came to an end last night for the United States men's national team. The match with Turkey A came down to the final minutes, with Team USA falling 3-2. Turkey A put the game-winning goal in the back of the net on the final kick of the game. The United States are still winners of Group D, finishing with 6 points. Up next for Team USA is the round of 32 against Bosnia-Herzegovina on July 1st. In hockey, the Columbus Blue Jackets yesterday landed Valeri Nichushkin from the Avalanche in exchange for draft picks. Nichushkin played 7 seasons with Colorado and helped the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup in 2022. Tonight is the NHL draft. The Blue Jackets currently hold the 14th overall pick in the first round. Tune in tonight at 7 o'clock to the CBJ draft special right here on The Fan. In baseball, both the Reds and Guardians were off yesterday. Tonight is Cincinnati with Pittsburgh taking on the Pirates, while Cleveland hosts the Mariners. This update is sponsored by RCD RV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala at RCDRV.com.
When Tyvis looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
Well, the Zach Werenski story certainly has traction. We talked about it a little bit this morning. We will talk about it more. If you ever missed some of the discussion on the show and you want to hear what we were talking about, maybe at the point of the show where you weren't up yet, or maybe you were up at 6 and then you go to work at 7:30 and you miss that part, 7:30 to 9. That's all right. Go get it on the podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, just search T-Bone and Tyvis. You'll find it. You can subscribe to it, like it, follow it, whatever you got to do. And then it'll be right there on your device, free of charge, every single time. It's all brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. So, yeah, get the podcast on your feed now. This story about Terry and Arnold from the Lions boggles my mind.
I was explaining this story to my mother-in-law last night. And I just don't want to believe that he did this.
No.
Because if he did this, this might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
We talked about this yesterday, if you missed it. Lions corner Terrion Arnold was arrested yesterday. I believe turned himself in.
He did.
Down in Florida. This stems from an incident back in February where he and some friends were staying at an Airbnb. They claimed they were robbed of $250,000+ of property. So they reported that to police. Then a couple days later, allegedly, decided to take matters into their own hands, where Terrion Arnold was on a text thread with some other people who allegedly lured some of the people they thought stole from them to a place, then beat them up and put them in a car and transported them somewhere else. So that involves... That involves kidnapping as one of the charges now. Apparently, he was not there for all of it, allegedly, but was present for some of it, allegedly. It's on the text chain, allegedly. Now that we've covered all that, he went to report to, you know, the authorities, turned himself in. His lawyers deny that any of this happened, of course. So then this came down yesterday. Judge J. Logan Murphy ruled that Terrion Arnold will remain in custody until a pretrial detention hearing is held on Monday. So, like, he went into the jail on Thursday thinking, I'll go in, they'll process me, I'll post bail, I'll get out of here. I'm guessing it was the thought. No, that is not the case. He will be in jail till Monday.
They denied him bail.
Apparently on Monday, prosecutors will ask that Arnold remain in custody until the trial of the case. I'm sure that's standard ops for, like, any trial where you have, like, the prosecutors usually at any trial aren't like, oh yeah, let him out. We don't really think he's that, you know,
in jail for the weekend.
If you think he did this, that's which they're the prosecutors. They clearly do.
Three hots in the cot.
Yeah. Obviously, if the motion is granted,
well, you know what's going to happen, right?
What do you think's going to happen?
What he got to do?
Oh, if you don't want to do 10,
come on now,
go tell on a friend.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's
about to be some Ratatouille stuff going on up in there, boy.
Trust me.
He gonna tell on everybody. He gonna give up all his friends for an ultimate feast.
Yeah. His lawyers obviously are denying all of this, like I said, but this is a guy who's an NFL player who, the charges involve a sentence that if he were convicted and if he were sentenced to the maximum,
life
in prison.
He got to tell. This is one of those situations where he has to tell. Usually I'm not for that, but you're talking about 4 years, $14.3 million that he just took. He might as well have went over there on Lane Avenue, took that money and threw it off that bridge right into the Olentangy River. That's what he just did. So he got to tell. He got to.
Okay. Well, I mean,
it has to be
either I am completely innocent or
if he texting in the group chat.
Well, that's the thing, man. It's like if there's text that even somewhat look like you were involved with this, that could be a problem. But of course, if you can somehow, I don't know, man. This not a great looking situation for him, but obviously the legal process has to play out. But
if he march out there whenever they play the first game of the season, I know 1,000% he told.
Yeah.
Oh man, I wish I was in that locker room. I'd be in there. Oh, here you come, y'all. Shut up. Y'all know what he is.
that's
a ball with this one.
I know you would. Yeah, who wouldn't, man? That's insane. So apparently, I got to switch gears because I saw this from the World Cup. You know how, like, we were talking earlier, Japan is apparently, they were playing in Texas yesterday. We have the audio from the Japan fan who was talking about how he ran out of PTO. Remember that? We played a little bit of this earlier.
BDO! BDO!
Tyvus's favorite chant.
He out of his mind.
I saw another story from Texas, though, that this is how weird the state of Texas is. They have the World Cup going on. Simultaneously, I saw that there's a story about a giraffe running wild, loose in Texas. Did you hear about this?
A giraffe?
A giraffe. Loose in Texas.
I try to capture it and have a pet giraffe.
Well, see, that's what I would think. That's what I think most people would do.
Throw a collar on him.
This is outside of San Antonio. There is like a farm out. Well, a farm. I don't know. They say it's a farm. It's one of those places that apparently has a license to keep exotic animals. Mm-hmm. And one of those animals is a giraffe. Well, the giraffe got out of the pen. Authorities were notified, and they've involved ATVs, helicopters, you know, police cruisers. They've been driving around looking for this giraffe. Problem is, they can't find it. How long has the giraffe been on the run in Texas, you ask? Not for 8 hours. Not for like a day.
It's on the run.
2 weeks.
The giraffe on the run.
2 weeks? You can't find a giraffe in 2 weeks? Come on, man.
His neck definitely stick out.
It's a giant animal. It's a giraffe.
Can't find, you
it's not like I can't find my, my pet schnauzer. It's running around.
He's trying to tell you that they're not taking care of him properly, so he got to get up out of there.
Well, I was thinking, like, well, how would this giraffe survive? But then I realized, like, probably there's parts of Texas, it's dry, it's arid, it's there's parts of it that are hot, warm. Probably this time of year feels a lot like, you know, in Africa or wherever the giraffe is from. It's probably not that different.
He went down to Galveston.
He over there finding tall grass to lay down in when the helicopter's flying.
That's right.
He's going back.
He's camouflaged.
I mean, serious question. I think we do have to ask of the authorities in that region of Texas, are we sure they know what a giraffe looks like? I mean, like, I think everyone should know, but if maybe we just casually slide a picture of, like, this is what you're looking for, right? You are looking for one of these. And so, like, oh, no, that was, I'm not looking for that.
Have you seen this?
It's a wanted poster. You bring him a Toys R Us ad from back in the day. Be like, here's Jeff. You see this guy? We're looking for him. See him? Jeffrey the giraffe? Yeah.
He on the run for 2 weeks, man.
They haven't found a giraffe.
This is a shame. Is it like a baby giraffe?
No. Full grown.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, yeah,
it
I don't
is massive.
He's been plotting this for like 10 years now. This is a planned escape.
I saw a video the other day, speaking of giraffes. It was not, I don't think, in Texas where this was, but it was somewhere where a giraffe is, where it had like gotten wrapped up in some fencing. Like it walked past a fence and some of the wire fencing got wrapped around like its neck. And so
did it kill itself?
No, but it was like it broke the fence and then the wire stuff was all over it. And so it kept like authorities had seen this giraffe acting weird because it had stuff all wrapped around its neck. So they wanted to help the giraffe, right?
Yes.
The problem is with giraffes, you have to get them sedated because you can't get too close to them because they can like stomp you and they can be a little aggressive. Mm-hmm. But you also can't just tranquilize them like with a regular tranquilizer, because if they fall, that can kill them because like their neck can break.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is tranquilize the giraffe enough that it gets sleepy. Then they had to get guys on horses with lassos to lasso this thing. And again, you got to get your rope like way
out there. Huh?
So they had cowboys, guy on like a helicopter shooting it with a tranquilizer just to get this thing to lay down enough for like a couple minutes so they could snip the. Yeah. Like, so I acknowledge that getting a giraffe back to where it needs to go probably isn't easy to do. However, finding the giraffe should not be a problem. It shouldn't be like, oh, we don't know where it is. It should be, we see it. We just haven't been able to get it yet.
He's trained for the streets, man.
That's a real giraffe right there. That giraffe is not messing around. Ross Bjork's not messing around either. He talked to the media yesterday, and apparently he's ready to tear down the Woody and build something better. You'll hear what he said next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, just one issue we're watching on 71 northbound, just past Greenlawn Avenue. The right shoulder slightly blocked off and traffic slow moving into downtown, but everything else looking nice and clear on your Friday. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see some areas of fog this morning, which could reduce visibility. Otherwise, skies will be mostly cloudy with wake-up temperatures in the 60s. For today, skies stay mostly cloudy for most of the day, although we will see chances of showers and thunderstorms as we head into the afternoon and especially into this evening. Some rain could be heavy at times. Temperatures in the upper 70s and then lows tonight with the 60s and chances of rain continuing overnight. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
an encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. If it's 4:30 in the morning and you see a ginger version of Dom DeLuise speeding down 33, don't panic. It's just T-Bone.
We are driving. We are driving.
We like driving. We like driving.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
We are eating.
We are eating.
So, by the way, I saw that U.S., if you didn't see it last night, U.S. men's national team, they lose 3-2 to Turkey. Takeaways from it are this. The good is Christian Pulisic got back on the field for the U.S. national team. He looked sharp. He looked really good. The team itself played mostly backups in this game that did not matter going forward. Would have been nice to win it. U.S. had chances to win it. Some of the players who played as backups looked nice. Reality is, Tyvus, U.S. men's national team starting 11, I hope they don't need four or five guys off the bench to be good. You know what I mean? Like, they don't need another.
Yeah, they do. If
they had another 11 guys who were awesome, that'd be great.
They need Max.
Max Arfson didn't play, I don't believe, yesterday. Or if he did, he got in very late. I didn't see it. But
They need him.
That's all right. He's still there. He's still ready to go in case they need him.
I don't want him to. If they win this thing, I know he's going to celebrate it and all those things, but it'll be like when Tyrese Halliburton won the gold.
Stop.
For the U.S. No. What is it called? A project, a group project.
Look.
And you just show up.
Get the A on the project,
yeah.
Didn't do anything?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm just telling you right now. Like, this U.S. national team, a lot of people are going to say, oh, man, they lost all the momentum. They're done. Oh, this sucks. One, the U.S. national team winning the World Cup, I'm not expecting that. I'm also not expecting them. I have higher expectations than them barely getting out of the group stage. And I have lower expectations than them winning the entire thing. What I'd like to see them do is win a few games and show that they are actually one of those nations that can go beat one of the big boy clubs. That's what they'll have to do. However, their next game is Wednesday against Bosnia and Herzegovina. And I saw this quote from, they're already talking. Bosnian defender Stepan Radulic said, they have a really quality team.
Mm-hmm.
We're expecting a very hard game against the U.S. It'll be awesome for us and amazing to kick them out when they play at home. So there's a little bit of smack talk right there. I like it. This is good. That's what you need. I need some bulletin board material for this U.S. national team.
This game is Wednesday?
Wednesday, I believe that one is in Santa Clara.
Do they talk trash while on the field?
Yeah, they talk trash. They talk trash. I know they talk trash. I've talked to soccer players.
What can you really say?
What do you mean, what can you say? What can you say as a football player? What do you mean? What did you say to guys?
I'd be willing to go.
I know you told us yesterday. You'll find out a guy's, you know, wife or girlfriend or whatever. You don't think they talk like that? You don't think they bring that stuff up and say, oh, yeah, that was terrible. You suck. No wonder your girlfriend left. You don't think they bring stuff like that up? Of course they do.
Hey, I mean, listen.
They bring that stuff up.
I feel
up.
Like they don't come off as that. Like hockey, I can see it.
Well, hockey players talk too. Why do you think soccer players don't talk?
I don't know. It just come off as passive.
Here's the thing. In soccer, you got to know how to talk trash in different languages.
You know why?
You got to learn how to say stuff in other languages.
They don't red card you.
Oh, they don't. I mean, if the ref hears it, depends on what it is.
Put your hand over your...
Well, now that's what you get a red card for.
You can't even do that.
You give your hand, you cover your hand, they'll give you a red card for that now. But yeah, I'm just saying, the trash talk is already starting. So Wednesday is when that matches. U.S., I'm not worried about them after yesterday. That wasn't a great result, but they also played all their backups and tied a team that was thought to be the second best team in this group. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about them. Now, Ross Bjork was talking yesterday to the media. Lengthy answer here. He was asked about the Woody Hayes facility, and I think this was one of the big reasons he wanted to talk to the media, was to basically get this thing kickstarted. Here are his thoughts on what needs to happen with the Woody.
The location will stay in the same footprint, right? So really what we're looking at is the existing building that is on the north side of the building, right? The offices, the team meeting rooms, the coaches' conference rooms, Coach Day's office, the locker room, the training room. What we want to do is we want to expand the locker room, expand the training room, develop a bigger team meeting room at some place within that structure. Right now, not everyone can fit in the team meeting room when we have a team meeting, right? The individual position rooms are in the same place as the coach's office. So if Tyler Bowen needs to have a private meeting and somebody wants, an offensive lineman wants to watch film, somebody has to leave. A new office complex, a new weight room would be part of new construction. The rest would be really a total renovation of that building. The location's great, and we don't want to lose that opportunity of that location, but new construction will be part of it, but then a total renovation. Timeline, we've raised some money on it, but that's why we need some public visibility. We need to get it out in the public. We need to let people know. And then we can, once we have that, we can really map out a time. It's not a short turnaround time. You have to design it. You have to go out to bid. You've got all the approvals. So we're probably still, you know, 18 months or so from breaking ground. But we've got to get the process activated to get the approval started so then we can really put the design, you know, in place to have the right building.
Turn my microphone off. That was the definition of pounding the table because you can literally, like, hear him hitting the table multiple times about, like, listen, they got to get this fixed.
Listen, this has been something that been needed for years. Now, don't get me wrong. Even when I was at the Woody, like, the Woody changed from just from the time I got there to the time I left. Like, when I was there, it was the old wooden locker room style. You know, Coach Meyer came in and got them to change the whole locker room. And at the time, it was like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, they redid the hot and cold area, tub area, and all of those things. You know, they added stuff to it. But it's crazy because you see that and you think, oh, this is top of the line stuff. This looks good.
And so Ohio State, you would expect nothing
right.
less.
But then you go to Oregon, you go to Nebraska, you see Nebraska. Nebraska's state football facility is beautiful. They just opened it like maybe 3 years ago or two, 3 years ago. And it's beautiful. But it's like even people like Nebraska has made their stuff like much better. And then you go, you see that, then you come back to Ohio State and say like, oh yeah, y'all, we losing in that department. So to me, the Woody has been something that they've put band-aids over it. They've done little things and put band-aids over it, but the building's 100 years old. Like it's time. Like it's outdated. It's time for a change. And it's been something that's been needed for years.
Yeah. It is worth clarifying. It is not actually 100 years old because there are buildings on campus that are 100 years
correct.
Old. It is not one of those that is. But you're right. It's like it's probably like 50 or 60 years old
something
at this point.
Like that, yeah,
right. Yeah. It's the reality with this is I find the college football facility discussion very interesting because what used to happen, like the days that Nick Saban longs for, when Nick Saban goes in front of Congress or the president or whatever, and he talks about how, like, you know, when we were there, these kids couldn't leave for $5 million. I mean, this is ruining the sport. That's because when Nick Saban was there, it was nothing to get $100 million to go get a new facility for the football program. Why? Because you weren't donating money to the rosters. You weren't donating money to NIL buyouts. All the money that was probably going to be spent on players and stuff like that, if it was allowed, was instead being spent with the university on facilities. So I wonder how the new era of not this project necessarily, but over the next 10, 15 years, how many schools will have the stomach to say, while we're paying $40 and $50 million for a roster for football, now we need to also engage in a project that's going to cost us, he said, $125 million is the budget for this thing.
And that's where the problem comes in, because it's like, how am I going to ask a donor, hey, I need money for this player, but, oh, yeah, by the way, I need some more money to do this, too. And it's just like, at some point, like, the donor might be tapped out and you're going to be forced to choose one. And I think we had this conversation before, like, do you want the facility or do you want the player?
Right.
He's going to be like, well, give me the player. Well, I mean, that's kind of where it goes.
So, and I think they know they have to be able to do both. The other part of this is just logistically.
And they like operate said, out of a deficit.
There's that, too, which is insane. But, like, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on this because I clearly understand what he's saying, that they need to get a facility done to help stay at pace with places like Oregon and Nebraska, who have not won anything recently, or in Oregon's case, ever. Mm-hmm. But like, you're Ohio State, it should be enough to say, come play here, and the Band-Aid should be enough, right? With the $5 or $6 million, some of the top players are getting too, to come play here. That all said, I know what he's talking about is necessary. I also know that right now, the number one program in women's hockey operates out of, like, not even a Band-Aid facility. It's out of, like, the scraps that are left at the end of I don't know, a medical procedure. That's the comparison to their facility. Like, they're operating out of nothing. Like, and they run that. They're at an OSU ice rink that's been around forever. They're going to a locker room that's in St. John Arena, which everybody talks about wanting to tear down. We can't get a women's hockey facility, but I hope we do get it eventually. But the hockey programs need stuff. There's other programs on campus that need their facilities upgraded too. And many of them have, to be fair. But like, at some point, I know the rubber meets the road with Ohio State football. I had multiple buddies text me, though, yesterday when the story came out. Big basketball guys being like, can we get a little of that for the basketball program? I mean, I think
Reimer said it.
Reimer texted in the group chat and said, yeah, can we get some of that for the basketball team? It's like,
Speaking of, you see your boy Christoph Tilly?
What about him?
What do you mean, what about him?
I saw what happened. Go ahead, tell the people.
What is it, a 10-day contract with the Thunder or something like that? What did he sign?
It's not called a 10-day contract, is it?
Or a two-way right now.
It's called like an option 10 or like that. It's some.
Because he's going to be on their summer league team.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not yet a 10-day contract, whatever. But it will be.
He got a chance. Then I just seen that this Connor Lemons guy on Twitter says that four of the five guys from Ohio State's 2022 class, recruiting class, has signed or been drafted to an NBA team. That group went 16-19 together.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be Bruce, Bryce, Felix, and Roddy.
Yep.
And then I don't know. I don't know who the
other one
is.
All right. Well, they found a way to get some talent in. Did they win with it? That's another question. Don Waddell, director of hockey ops for the Blue Jackets, he joined Rothman and Ice. You will hear some of that conversation in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. We are watching a small crash on 33 eastbound right at 104. We are seeing crews clear that out right now, but everything else looking right up to speed. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan Traffic.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Okay, so yesterday I had to settle a debate, okay? Two of my buddies had a thing going on where they were talking about where pizza was better. So, Josh Perry always says that Cheshire has the better pie.
Cheshire Market is Cheshire up there by Alum Creek.
Correct.
Like almost
right on Africa Road by almost, Alum Creek.
Right way up there though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is like where in my neck of the woods. So then Dylan comes on and he says Tavern at the Creek pizza is better. And literally these places is 10 seconds apart.
Okay.
They're on the same street 10 seconds apart.
Okay.
Right. So yesterday I went and had Tavern at the Creek. Now I had Tavern at the Creek like 3 years ago at a Super Bowl party. I didn't realize what it was, but I did have some that day.
Okay.
But I didn't remember it when Dylan brought it up. I just couldn't remember. So yesterday I went there and I go inside to pick it up and the lady there is like, hey, you're Tyvus. I listen to your show every day. And she's like, I want a review of what you think of the pizza and the wings that you got. This is what I'll say. I'm ready to give my answer.
Go ahead.
I'm calling it even. Between Josh and Dylan is even. No, because it just depends on what you want. No.
So a tie.
It's a tie.
Yeah. I just last hour had to listen to you tell me that a soccer tie is not valid, and then you just now told me
it's a tie.
Don't get on to me then when I point out that sometimes in life it is a tie. That just happens. Sometimes it's a 6 of 1, half dozen the other. It happens.
All I'm saying is the biggest difference that I could tell between the two places is that Tavern at the Creek is more of a well-done pie.
Well, then you know where I would be on.
Of course.
I am a well-done pie kind of guy.
And as far as the wings went, they were smoked wings, which I'm not huge in smoked wings, but for those who be smoked wings, I actually enjoyed them. So that was good.
I need to go try Tavern at the Creek then. I haven't had it. I have to get up there. I will tell you.
And shout out to Tyler in the chat for fixing my smoke alarms.
Tyler?
Tyler.
Who's Tyler?
Tyler. So I told you off air.
Yes.
That for some odd reason, my smoke alarm or smoke detectors in my house just kept going off. And we couldn't figure out what was wrong. We didn't cook anything or nothing. They just kept going off.
Yeah.
So it was to the point where my wife would just go sit outside because we just couldn't figure it out, right?
Yeah.
So Tyler came through yesterday and got up on the thing, figured out what the problem was, fixed them, and bang, we've been good ever since. So we was able to sleep last night.
There you go.
So shout out to him.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks for listening and for fixing his smoke detector and not allowing baby Tsunami to have to be up all night. That's good. That's nice. Good to know we have people who know what they're doing who listen to this show, because we definitely don't. Evan, by the way, in the chat said, what's more important from a facilities perspective for Ohio State athletes, stadium, arena, training facility, weight room, locker room, etc.? Not sure what may be the other brick and mortar selling points. So you're a former athlete.
What was the most important thing for us?
For you, when you would go tour a place and you're looking at, you know, where to go play.
So the thing about it is, it's like you got to think to yourself as an athlete, I'm going to spend majority of my time here. So I want to feel comfortable in here. And they got stuff like on my recruiter visit, they had stuff like, they got like systems, game systems upstairs, stuff like that. And you think as a high school kid, oh, that's really cool. You ain't going to use that thing not one time. So don't even fall for that. What you need to know is the training facility, the weight room, and the stadium, like that's, and the recovery, like that's kind of like the three things. The training room, like where you get like the
trainers, all your treatment and stuff. That. Yeah,
that's important. The weight room, because that's where you're gonna spend a lot of your time. And you obviously want the stadium to be really good as well.
Not to drill too deep on that, but like when you go into a training room, it's like, all right, they have tables with padding on them, mm-hmm. and like, I don't know, maybe a little place to rest your head as you're laying down while they're like taping. Mm-hmm. up your, or doing some procedure, giving mm-hmm. you a massage, whatever. Yeah. Like, what would separate, if you lay down and look at the ceiling and there's flat screens on the ceiling, what makes it better is what I'm saying.
One, you got roughly 100 players on a team.
Yeah.
So you want more benches. Like,
okay,
it'd be times room. Where you gotta wait. Yeah, like, you gotta wait. I gotta, like, when they have massage people come up there and give you your masseuse come up there.
Right.
Like, you would have to wait because there was not enough tables.
Okay.
So, like, gotcha. That's a problem.
Never thought of that.
Right. That's a problem. Okay. So, you want more, you want the area to be kind of bigger for that. And then, if you got people that's got treatment going on and you got massages going on, like, you just kind of run out of space there. Then you're talking about the recovery part of it, where it's, you got one hot tank, one cold tank. Like,
okay,
can everybody fit in there at once? No. So like, and can I, you make that bigger?
Weight, like, room is the same thing, where it's like, I got to do these squats, but there's three guys ahead of me who also have to do theirs, yeah, and I got to stand around and wait, and that's
why you break it up into three groups.
Okay, yeah. So you have to either break it up, or you have a bigger weight room where everybody can be in there at the same time.
Right. So like, if you're doing a team lift and the whole team's there,
yeah,
you only got 12 racks.
That's not going to go well.
That's
right.
What I'm saying. Like, so like those type of things.
It also makes me think, like, I can only imagine when Urban was there having the video game systems, you're like, oh, sweet, I'll get to play some, I don't know, play some FIFA.
Not
play
one
some,
time.
Yeah, play
I some
Call of Duty. I'm just saying, what would it have been like if you were up there as a freshman and you had just finished doing everything you were supposed to do and you were just sitting there playing video games?
The only time
Urban walked through and saw you doing that.
So the only time that I seen people playing video games, because that was when I first got there, they had it upstairs. They then put the TVs in the locker room and stuff like that. So it was one day during like a training camp. I don't know. I think we might have had two of these, and it was like during the downtime. So some people, you know, they had all them air mattresses and stuff. So some people would take their air mattresses and go on the field and lay down, or go wherever and lay down. It was a certain time where they had FIFA, like they was playing FIFA in the locker room.
Summer soccer, baby. Yeah.
And that was the only time that I actually ever seen like a system being used in there.
Okay. I learned that Michael Bennett, big FIFA guy. That's how he got into, he knows, he likes soccer because he would play FIFA.
Everybody would play FIFA and I could never figure it out. I was more of a 2K Madden and Call of Duty.
What you want to do, Tyvus, is kick the ball into the giant net.
It's not that simple on FIFA.
I know. It's almost like soccer is a complicated game.
It is.
It's way more to it than what people think, apparently. Don Waddell was on Rothman and Ice, the president of hockey ops for your Columbus Blue Jackets. A lot of smoke around this Zach Werenski thing. Does he want out of Columbus? He was asked basically by Anthony Rothman, hey, is this a year where you kind of need to prove to Zach that this franchise is all in on winning? Is this a big year for the Jackets to prove to Zach Werenski that they need, you know, they need to show that they want to win.
Well, winning always helps everything, right? Let's face it. We've made big strides the last 2 years, but we still haven't got the ultimate goal of getting in the playoffs. So, you know, that's our goal when we start the season, obviously, is put ourselves in a position to compete for the Stanley Cup. And, you know, you can talk to players forever, and players want to be parts of successful organizations. So, certainly, that would be a big step in our favor if we can make the right moves to put us in that position to take that step.
I mean, it's sounding more and more like there has been some conversation with, to some level, around Zach Werenski, whether with his agent or whatever, that they're looking for a long-term commitment now. Even though he can't re-sign until next July, they want to know, are we talking about it's a no doubt you're re-signing? Hmm. If there's questions.
When is the meeting?
Well, that's another thing, because Don Waddell, I don't know if we have that one in here. I'm sure we do somewhere. I don't know if I pulled it, but he basically said that may have gotten blown out of proportion. I don't have necessarily a date on the calendar. I just know we're going to get through the draft process, and then he and I are going to sit down. He did say that he and Zach had a, like, dinner. They went to dinner or lunch right the day before he got the Norris Trophy. So it's not as if Don Waddell and Zach Werenski have not been talking this offseason. Mm-hmm. What I got from listening to that interview, which go check out the whole thing, wherever you get podcasts, just search Rothman and Ice, it's there. But the whole tenor I got from that interview after he gave that press conference yesterday was, we're having conversations, I'm just being real. If this guy doesn't want to sign up for the rest of his career here, we have to think about getting the best for him.
That's the right answer. I don't know why. There shouldn't be no problem from him hearing that, and there shouldn't be, like, nothing from fans. Like, that's the correct answer.
Here's the news I would say. I don't know if it's good, bad, or otherwise, but it's real. I don't think there's a chance in hell they would trade Zach Werenski. If, let's say, it becomes something this offseason where they realize we need to do this, they're not going to do it to get two firsts and two, you know, no, this and like three not. Prospects be, and
that,
you know,
that the last no. the last people probably would do something like that.
Right. The only way that Zach Werenski's leaving town, what I got from listening to Don Waddell's comments yesterday was, if he's leaving town, it's because we're getting in a player that you go, oh damn. Like that's the only, it's going to be a player for player type of deal. Not something that I would think you're going to swap out and get
Mitch Marner.
One player and eight players in return who all suck.
Mitch Marner.
No, not him. But, I mean,
you know, it'd be crazy.
There's guys out there that have only signed short-term deals that may not, they're not committed long-term to their group either. And maybe it's, maybe you make a switch.
You know,
I don't know.
Crazy is if, like, towards the end of his career, he decides to come play for Columbus.
Who, Mitch Marner?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it'll be the happiest day for you.
I'm still going to go support him.
I know you will. That's fine. Could be a Mitch Marner guy. There's nothing wrong with that. I'd love for him to come play here. But, yeah, it didn't happen last offseason. We'll see. All right, we'll come back. Rhyme Time is in for Dylan. You have a game show. What is the game show that we're doing today, Jacob Reimer?
If a player that I'm going to give you was drafted or undrafted in this past NBA draft.
Okay.
We got no chance.
No, we have none. We'll do that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. No crashes on your Central Ohio roadways right now. Watching things pick up on 71 into downtown and on 315 near campus. But again, we are crash free. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steckerwald with your Fan Traffic.
Radio station is more than 100 years old. And during that time, absolutely no one has hosted more shows than the Common Man. I don't know why we're bragging about that, but I just read the copy, okay? And then there's Timmy. What can I say about good old Timmy? Well, he's a heck of a guy. All right, let's cut the bull. Common Man and Timmy host a show that'll make you laugh at immature things, overreact to whatever's going on in the world of sports, and probably embarrass themselves in the process. And we love them for it. Common Man and Timmy. Weekdays from 3 to 6 on The Fan.
Truck.com.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvus Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, plenty to get to today. Lots of Jackets discussion. I'm excited about the World Cup. I got to play this for you. This was, real quick, this was Ecuador yesterday. Our Columbus team, our adopted team, they're staying in Columbus. Yesterday I'm watching them. They had to beat Germany to stay in the World Cup. Germany, I don't know if you're aware, good. They went up against Germany, and I thought, man.
Who's the favorite to win it all?
Well, Germany would be one of those type of teams. I don't know if Argentina is still the favorite. Spain, I think, was a favorite. France is up there. I haven't looked at the latest odds, but this was the goal yesterday. 2-1 It was a 1-1 game. If they tie, they're not going forward.
Mm.
They had to win this game, and then this happened for Ecuador.
Allá viene el centro, balón cayendo de cabeza.
Gonzalo Plata, who scored that goal. That's Telemundo on the call. That
did Germany have anything to lose in this game?
No, they'd already won the group, I believe, but it's still like they were out there fighting. Like when they let that goal and all their players collapsed, they were pissed off. Like they wanted to win this game. Cause I don't know if you know this in Europe, like if you're in the World Cup, they're pretty much, their fans are like, yeah, it's great. Go win it. They're not like, go win every game. They're not taking it lightly. So, yeah, that was a nice goal. So that means Ecuador comes back to Columbus, hangs out here a little bit more. You can go, maybe you'll see Gonzalo Plata at like your local Burger King. Cool. You never know. May just walk in there and say, give me a Whopper. I'm Gonzalo Plata. I scored a goal. Biggest goal in Ecuador history, possibly.
Who is Dylan Larkin?
Dylan Larkin's, well, he's a center for the Red Wings, if I'm not mistaken, well, who wants out.
Yes.
Well, Snagglepuss was saying,
yeah,
why not turn the CBJ into an alpha organization by convincing Dylan Larkin to come here?
Well, that's the thing. He has a full no-trade clause, and apparently he has told the Red Wings he wants out. He's their captain, by the way. Captain of the Red Wings, grew up in Detroit, right alongside. He and Zach Werenski were high school teammates.
They played together at Michigan. Buddies?
Yeah, they were like roommates in college at Michigan.
So he spent his whole career.
He is like the Detroit kid. And the Red Wings fans, the Red Wings fans said, well, you know what's going to happen. Dylan Larkin's his best friend. He's going to come up here. And Zach Werenski is going to play for the Red Wings. You guys know it. You're never going to keep him. So then this offseason, when that happened, where it was like, Dylan Larkin said, peace out, Stevie Y. I'm out. I don't want to be here. Steve Yzerman told him to pound sand. I was like, oh, yeah, let's go. Maybe we can get him here. Guess what the teams are that he wants to go to? Las Vegas, Carolina, like Florida. Like, it's all the same teams.
I get it, but
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, I would love to see him come here. That would be awesome if they could, but they got to worry about first figuring out what's going on with Zach Werenski. And then maybe go out and get some guys like that. But they have to make moves. They did make a move yesterday. We'll talk about it in a little bit. We got a game show to do right now. All right. Today, Jacob Reimer is in for our lots of Dylans. We're talking about Dylan Larkin. Dylan Gonzalez, our producer, out for today. We're going to talk to Dylan Tyre coming up at 8:30 about the Jackets. Draft tonight, trades made. Do that at 8:30. But Rhyme Time, what's the game today?
I'm going to give you names of college basketball players, and you're going to tell me if they were drafted or not in this past draft.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
Make it happen.
First up, Emmanuel Sharp.
Oh, my guy. Sharpshooter is what they're calling him.
I'm going to say...
He's a beast.
Shut up. You don't even know.
I got no idea.
The sad thing is I don't either.
Dylan, who's he play for? Who is this dude?
Who played for in college?
Yeah.
Houston.
Oh, okay. So they're a good team. So yeah. I should probably know him. I don't.
Did he get drafted? Yes.
I'm going to say yes. He got drafted because he is the sharpshooter. Say he went to Memphis. No, I have no. Did he get drafted?
Yes, he did.
Oh, didn't go to Memphis, though.
To the Kings.
Oh, Sacramento.
Sacktown.
Building the wagon out there.
I know. They got Darius Acuff.
Yeah, they. Oh, hey. He got drafted. I know that.
All right.
All right, give me another one.
Next up, Ugonna Onyensu.
Yeah, right. Love that dude.
Okay.
Love him.
Ugonna Onyensu.
Yeah, my guy. Used to play for the U.S. men's national team.
Did he get drafted?
That's not right.
This year? Yes.
I'm going to say Oguchi Onyewu did not get drafted. That's the U.S. national team player. What's this guy's name?
Ugonna Onyensu.
Ugonna Onyensu. Okay, I'm going to say he did not get drafted. I'm going to say no, he did not.
Well, this is for Tyvus.
Oh, you got it. I'm wrong.
Got drafted to the Pistons in the second round.
Ooh.
All right. Third, Robbie Avila.
No. Oh, that's no. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right?
That's correct, yes.
Dude from Indiana State, went to St. Louis, Billiken.
Yes,
and then followed his coach there.
He didn't get drafted. Or,
no, because I think I did see this. The Lakers offered him like a 10-day contract, didn't they?
He did not get drafted. So the Lakers had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
yes,
and now they have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes. What are some of his other stupid nicknames they have for that kid? Like, he had all kinds of them, but he was the dude with the goggles,
yeah,
right?
Who respect just, the specs.
Yeah, he looked like he would come fix your computer. Like, you know what I mean? Like a Geek Squad member.
Even though
member.
He was 6'10".
Yes, 6'10". So a giant
this,
man.
Let me get this right. The Lakers will give him a contract, but not LeBron?
Wow. Look at that.
I guess so.
Look at that.
He's going to be their starting center.
Makes you think. All right. give me another one.
Abuka Okori.
Abuka Okori.
He a Mecca?
No, that's a last name. Abuka is his first name. It's not
Abuka Okori.
Is he? What team did he play for? This is not going to help us at all. Because definitely don't know who this guy is.
Because
I just want context.
Stanford.
Oh, okay.
No
one's getting drafted. Yeah, guys, you know from Stanford are all losers, right?
Yeah. Terrible.
Richard Sherman, he's one
terrible
of them.
Terrible human
loser.
Being.
Yeah. Okay.
So final answer: no, he did not.
No.
Oh. Missed the button.
To who?
He went in the first round, actually.
Dang. Good for him. Good for that guy.
He was drafted by the Thunder, traded to the Pistons.
What was up with that in the NBA draft, especially in the second round, I know, where it was like every guy who did an interview, there was one guy where they had to switch the hats. Like, they did this for almost every player, where it's like they do the interview with one hat as he's talking about playing for another team. Because they were like, oh, yeah, you've been traded. But there was a guy, I cannot remember who it was, where he's literally starts talking about the team he's playing for, he thinks, because he's wearing the hat. And they're like, oh, you didn't hear? You got traded. He's like, oh, should I take the hat off?
I remember Bruce, when they were interviewing him, they asked, like, how he found out if he got to the Knicks or he got traded to the Rockets. And he was like, I saw the Knicks up there. And then someone was like, oh, no, you're going to the Rockets. And he was like, oh, no tax then.
They got
to
fix that.
No state tax.
Yeah, that's true. That happened to, like, the Cameron Carr kid.
Why do they do that?
Yes,
he was drafted
by the Knicks, it says, but he was traded to the Lakers.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I know that happens, but why not
just say he going to the Lakers?
Where, like, the
Lakers is on the clock.
How do the TV people know it, but the guys getting drafted aren't being told this
because
info? That makes no sense.
The NBA moves so slowly that they come out as the commissioners and announce that a trade happened, even though we knew it 30 minutes ago.
Crazy.
I don't understand it.
But you would think, like, his agent would know, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would think someone in his camp would, whoever player it is.
All you got to do is look at Twitter.
Well, I'm sure they don't want to do that, because then they Google their name and it's like, why did we draft this guy? He's ass.
Well,
and then it's like, oh, I didn't need to see that.
Just follow, like, certain accounts that, like, put it out.
Sure. That's right. Travis Kelce and whoever it is he's getting married to, I forget her name, think she's some kind of singer. Anyway, he has an interesting rule for his upcoming wedding, according to one of his buddies who's in the NFL. You hear about all that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday. Still watching slow-moving traffic on 71 near downtown and on 33 on the southeast side, but we remain crash-free here on your Friday. I'm 10TV's Amy Stagerwald with your Fan Traffic.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Jacob Reimer. The United States men's national team wrapped up group stage play last night in the World Cup. They fell to Turkey A 3-2 in the final minutes. Turkey A scored the game-winning goal on the final kick of the game. The United States are still winners of Group D, finishing with 6 points. Up next for Team USA is the round of 32 against Bosnia-Herzegovina on July 1st. In hockey, the Columbus Blue Jackets yesterday landed Valeri Nichushkin from the Avalanche in exchange for draft picks. Nichushkin's played 7 seasons with Colorado and helped the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup in 2022. Tonight is the NHL draft. The Blue Jackets currently hold the 14th overall pick in the first round. Tune in tonight at 7 o'clock to the CBJ Draft Special right here on The Fan. In baseball tonight, the Guardians host the Mariners, while the Reds are in Pittsburgh taking on the Pirates. This update sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your game with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results this summer with a solution for weight loss. Visit Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan.
Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls.
And America. I hate it, hate, hate.
Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Well, you heard it in the update. Jackets made a trade yesterday to get Valerie Nichushkin from the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs are trying to revamp their roster after they disappointed in the playoffs. He's been a good player for them at least a few years ago in the playoffs. 2022, I believe, is when he had 15 points in 20 playoff games as they won the Stanley Cup that year. So, guy with that level of experience, he's a big guy, he can skate, he can win the puck. That's when he's on the ice. When he's off the ice, a little bit of some issues over the course of his career. You may remember the story of an Avs player who missed some time during the playoffs a couple years ago because a woman was found at the hotel who was out of it, seemed to have some kind of inebriation going on of some sort. She had to be taken to a local hospital. That woman was found in his room. Team doctors, team personnel had to help get her out of there. He then, I believe, didn't play anymore in those playoffs, and it was kind of murky as to why he didn't. They said it was personal reasons, whatever. Point being, like, he's had some off-the-field issues, off-the-ice issues in this case. When he's on the ice, he can play. So, can he play for this Jackets team? That's what I think matters now. And is he able to not have any more off the ice issues? Thankfully, when people come to the Blue Jackets, it only ever works out perfectly. Like with Patrick Laine. Like there's never any chance. So like if I'm just saying of all the franchises,
why is it always what's the worst that could happen?
Have you met the Blue Jackets?
What's the best that can
happen? I hope we get the best version of this guy, because if you get the best version of this guy, you got a star. You got a player who can help you.
He made a mistake once.
It wasn't the only mistake. He was also in like the NHL's like program for like substance abuse, I believe. Or some kind of he had to be taken off the ice and had that going on for a while. What I'm saying is when he's on the ice, he can be pretty good. However, that old Avs team was disappointing this year. That's partially why they are revamping and making deals. Good thing for the Jackets was they gave up no players to get this guy. They gave up picks, which I'm all about. Move to picks. Let's get some guys who can help you win. So if he helps you win, that would be awesome. But yeah, we'll talk with Dylan Tyre coming up at 8:30 a little bit more about that. And the Jackets tonight, they as of now have the 14th pick in the draft. Will they use it? Possibly. Or could be part of a deal that they make to get another player. I hope that Nichushkin is not the only player they're going after, because if that's the case, I don't know. That doesn't strike me as like, oh yeah, now it puts you over the hump. I mean, you know.
No, that does
you,
not.
You're enough. Not bringing back Mason Marchment, it by all appearances, right? He's that's a free agent and doesn't much. Sound like he's coming back. So
I want to know who is the guys that Rick Bowness got the issues with.
Well, I think.
Is Zach the guy?
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe Zach is the guy.
Here's what I know. I remember, maybe I'm reading too much into this. So Rick Bowness yesterday with Rothman and Ice, or not Rick Bowness, sorry, Don Waddell was on with Rothman and Ice. He talked about the Rick Bowness, you know, situation a little bit, talked about some of those comments, but talked more about what they have to do for this team and what they have to do to make this team better. The reality is they know that Zach Werenski is a guy who wants to win. All these guys want to win. Charlie Coyle, though, was here for a year and said, I believe they can win here, and I like the money they're offering. Did they overpay for him a little bit? Possibly. But that's a guy who has not missed the playoffs up until this year in his entire career, and he decided to stick with this team. So I like that. I like that he's saying, I believe in what the future holds here for Columbus. Mm-hmm. He's not a young guy either. So signing up with the Jackets, you're pretty much saying, I'm going to spend the rest of my career here, and I want to go have success, but I want to do it at a place where I think I can win. Zach Werenski has not tasted what Charlie Coyle has, at least on the NHL side of things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't had that success. So he team success. In the NHL.
As far as Blue Jackets success, yeah.
In the NHL.
Team USA, I mean.
That's what I said. I'm talking in the NHL. He has not had the same success that Charlie Coyle has had on these teams. I'm saying he's been great. He won a Norris Trophy. That's pretty good success. but he hasn't been a part of winning teams. So Zach Werenski, there is a discussion about whether or not he wants to be here or not. Don Waddell pretty much said, I mean, this is the press conference where he was asked, are you planning on meeting with Zach Werenski? What does that look like? What's happening?
I think for right now, there's some matters that we're dealing with that should probably stay internal. My plan is still to meet with Zach here in the near future and see where he's at. But, you know, we've had some conversations with his agent, but there's been no definitive plan for sure.
Yeah. So that is the comment that got a lot of Jackets fans to go from, there's nothing to this story, to, oh, maybe there is. And I know this, if there's probably going to be an open captaincy this year. Who they decide to make the captain on this team is going to be a very interesting decision.
Adam Fantilli.
Well, maybe. But there has, you know, of course, some people say, well, if you want to show Zach you're committed to him, why don't you put the C on him? They're not going to do that unless they think he's committed to them. I wouldn't think, right? They're not going to make him the captain if he's sitting there going, oh, yeah, next year I may just want to get traded.
No, you can't do that.
No. So that's part of why I think some of this decision-making has to happen. But, of course, all this is happening around the draft. We will see what happens throughout the day today. Keep it locked right here on The Fan for all the latest updates. Travis Kelce getting married to, what is her name? Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. You may have heard of her.
Yep.
They apparently...
Dylan is rolling his eyes at you.
I know. Dylan's not here today, but I still like to tweak him. So the rumor is they're getting married sometime around July 4th. Which, of course, would be next week.
I was about to say next week.
Also, I believe it's like the 1st through the 8th, Madison Square Garden has been rented out by someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's been rumored that that could be Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
What'd they say?
Renting it out for their wedding. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, that seems insane. As much money as she has, obviously she could afford to do it, but why would you rent it out? Why would you want to get married in it, like in an arena? You know what I mean? She performs in arenas.
They both used to being in arenas.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, why wouldn't you want to go? The other rumor was that there was this place in, like, Rhode Island or something that she wanted that was, you know, on a hillside overlooking the ocean or something and big country estate. Why wouldn't you want to go somewhere like that, like a beautiful scenery? You can afford that stuff.
You know what they should do?
What's that?
Go right down to the courthouse, get it done for, like, $125.
That's right.
And pocket the rest of that money.
Yeah, because that's what it is. They're both looking at it going, I don't know if we can afford all this. Come on.
That's what I, hey.
Well, the thought is that maybe she would want to do it. They would want to do it at Madison Square Garden because one thing you can control, there's not going to be any drones that can be flown overhead to take pictures and get paparazzi snapshots. They can control everyone who comes in and out of that
place.
Imagine
being that popular.
Right. Like you even have to think of that.
Isn't that crazy? I understand the finances of it, and that's got to be great. Well, man.
Oh, the trade-off.
Every time I step outside, I got to hit.
No. No, like, I couldn't.
You can't do nothing. Well, absolutely nothing. Like, regular.
It always shocks me. Like, they do this even with, they do it with star athletes, right? They do it with, like, the WNBA players. When they come in, they take photos. Now everybody does that, where they walk in. The NFL shows these guys walking in, and they always take their outfits apart and go, that's this shirt from this place. It costs $250. These pants are $1,000 jeans or whatever. You know, they're always doing stuff like that. But, like, she's at a level where she walks out of whatever place she lives in to go, I don't know, walk the dog or something. And they'll, like, take whatever outfit she has on at that point and say, These are yoga pants from somewhere. This is a t-shirt from such and such. And it's like, when you have to think about that, when you're going to let the dog out, you're right. I don't know if it's worth it.
I mean,
I'll take the money.
I'm going to cry and blow my nose at $100 bills.
I guess you can always hire a dog walker, right? You know, probably get the best one. Yeah. So anyway, here's the rule that apparently is happening at their wedding. According to George Kittle, who is, of course, you know, a tight end alongside Travis Kelce. They play for different teams.
He going?
Well, they apparently, he got invited. They do that tight end university thing,
mm-hmm.
And George Kittle was at that. Taylor Swift actually performed at this thing, which was kind of a cool gesture that she did. But George Kittle was talking about, he told Extra TV this. He said, they told us absolutely no gifts for the wedding. Gifts are not allowed. He said he's going to ignore that rule. He said, but I was thinking Travis, for some reason, I know he really likes old coins, so I might get him an old coin. Going to have to get him an expensive one, but I want to get him a gift. So he's ignoring the rule, but
they'll kick him out.
I'm going to tell you, they're
going to kick him and Claire out.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I got invited to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's wedding, and on the invitation it said gifts and blah, blah, blah can be dropped off here, or you can, here's the registry, I am ripping up the invitation and throwing it in the trash. No, I'm not bringing a gift to your wedding. You're Taylor Swift and we just talked about. You rented out Madison Square Garden.
I'm not getting you a gift. See, now you're going. That's wrong.
I'm not getting you a gift.
That's wrong. You don't think rich people like gifts too?
I bet they do.
This is funny.
And you know what they can do? They can go buy them with their own money. Because what am I going to get? What am I going to get Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift they don't already have for themselves? They already have everything.
This is like when I was had to get Sherm a gift, and I'm like, what do you get somebody that can get anything a gift?
That's what I'm saying.
And you know what? I said, what type of gift do you like? He said, I like the same things you like. I want to give me some shoes and sweats and stuff. That's a cop-out answer.
So you just buy, okay, so I bought you a pair of Jordans I found at Foot Locker for $120. Like,
if they the latest drop.
But he's going to say, I already got those 3 months ago because I have a Nike deal and they sent them to me.
That's not what he's going to say.
What's he going to say?
He's going to say, I could have got them for free because I got a Nike deal.
Right. That's what I mean. I'm not getting a gift if I get invited to Taylor Swift's wedding. There's not a chance.
And you have to think about those kind of things. Like, they're deals that they have.
Get them a bottle of champagne. Yeah,
like, if Travis Kelce's with Nike, like, you're not going to get him something Adidas.
No. I don't know if I would show up for a wedding, get him a bottle of wine or something.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice.
I think it,
what's wrong
I
mean, with that? There
the,
you go.
I think the coin that Kittle's doing is a good gesture.
Now that's good.
If it's
right?
for me, give me a bottle of lemonade.
No. The coin. Yeah,
sparkling.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
Some sparkling. I can imagine
showing up to your wedding with two jugs of Milo's and be like, where do you want this?
You can get
it refrigerated.
Be fancy. Sparkling lemonade.
Sparkling lemonade?
Sparkling lemonade.
Yeah. That's
get you a little bite to it when you drink it.
I'm just saying.
Do you think Travis saying. Has like any like high school friends that like he's still connected with and is going to invite to this? Like,
I would think so.
Like, that'd be crazy though for like that person. Like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I'm just going to a wedding at Madison Square Garden.
Yes,
for my good friend Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Sitting there talking with like some big music stars or producers. Like, yeah. So what do you do? When's your new album come out? Oh, great. That's cool. What do? I'm a mechanic. Yep. I got a 98 Corolla back at the shop. We're really trying to figure out.
If I had a wedding, I'd have some of my pro friends.
Of course you would.
With regular people.
Of course. I get it. I'm just saying that would be a weird juxtaposition. It'd be good.
It would be.
It'd be good.
I wouldn't be.
What do you mean it wouldn't be?
I mean,
it would be good.
I don't think people would like. Like, if I had Cam Chancellor and Sherm there, like, at my wedding, I don't think
he had someone like me just sitting there next to him.
Would you go over there and just bombard them?
How are you? No, I wouldn't bombard them, but if you sat me next to them, they're like, so what is your workout regimen? What are you still doing? And I'd be like, oh, wrong guy. That's not, I don't know why I'm at this table.
Those two are just regular people.
I'd be like, you guys see the new thing at Taco Bell? They got the street chalupas back.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, Sherm was big on Mexican pizza, so you could have that conversation.
They got a new version of that to talk to. Look at that. Morning Breath coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now, no crashes across your Central Ohio roadways. Busy traffic on 71 near downtown and on I-70 coming in from the west side, but we remain crash-free on your Friday. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan Traffic.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Areas of fog this morning, otherwise mostly cloudy with wake-up temperatures in the 60s. Then for this afternoon, we will see skies remain mostly cloudy with highs in the upper 70s. Chances of showers and thunderstorms return this afternoon and evening, some which could have heavy downpours and gusty winds. That will continue overnight with our lows down into the 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Sometimes it's better if people just shut up.
Shut up!
It's time for Morning Breath.
Okay, We talked about this situation a little bit yesterday. I think it's, since we talked about it, it's grown and continued to get bigger. This Caitlin Clark deal where she got hit in the face, neck area, and like, there's a still image from this. What do you remember who it was that this that
Alyssa
this game,
Thomas.
Okay, Alyssa Thomas. Who was the matchup?
She plays for the Phoenix Mercury, maybe?
It was Phoenix. That's right. It was Fever Mercury. Okay. WNBA game. Caitlin Clark's on the ground, and there is a still shot of this that they've been, it gets blasted everywhere. It makes it look like she choked Caitlin Clark or something. But in reality, it was, I mean, she definitely hit her in the neck. It was not cool. She was assessed, I believe, a flagrant two afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Like, she suspended the game.
Yeah, and she's been suspended by the WNBA, which is, yeah, obviously, they could have suspended her for longer, quite honestly. That was not a good thing she did. Clearly bad. But now this has led to the hot take merchants around the world who don't ever watch the WNBA except when
Colin Coward.
Clark, not Colin, although he had a hot take on it too. This was Boomer Esiason from WFAN. Boomer obviously does CBS, you know, NFL stuff. But in his day job, he works at the big sports station WFAN in New York. And this was his thought on what needs to happen with Caitlin Clark and what she should think about doing.
You know what, if I were Caitlin Clark, I would seriously consider going to play overseas somewhere and get the royal treatment and get real money.
From the Saudis?
From somewhere. I mean, there's international.
She can't go to the Saudis.
Well, she can't go to the Russians either, as we saw that, you know, Brittany Griner got stuck there.
She did. Well, yeah, in jail.
Right. So
can't take that money from Piff.
But a lot of the women actually do play, you know, in European leagues because they supplement their income. But now, supposedly, their income is going up here. And I know that Caitlin makes a ton of money off the court in terms of endorsements, and rightfully so. But I think that there's a petty jealousy, and she's a straight, white basketball player. And she is not being treated with any sort of respect whatsoever.
All right. I mean, the whole notion of her going and playing overseas, odd. But then you bring it like, she's straight white basketball player. That's why this is happening. Or because she's a player that is one of the best players in the league and came in with a lot of fanfare. There could be some jealousy there, but
I don't doubt that there is some jealousy there. But we're not. When is it? Okay, so
this, I, like, it, it
all right, so it, this yeah. would get this is the issue that I'm having with it all. With this is that one, we live in a world where women, we want equality for women, right?
Yeah.
So we'll sit there and we'll say the men's sport is not rough enough. Basketball and NBA is not rough. Back in the 90s was the best basketball and all that.
Absolutely.
Okay,
right.
So we'll say that. But then we'll get to the WNBA where maybe she does get pushed a little bit, you know, like the Alyssa Thomas thing, that's terrible.
I don't support that line, clearly.
But all the other stuff, like the little ticky tacky stuff, like the getting pushed, maybe shoved, doing all the stuff like that. Back in the 90s, you'd be praising it when it was, you know, Bad Boys Pistons and all that.
So what the Pistons did to Jordan.
But now, because it's them, we shouldn't be doing it.
No. Because
like, I don't understand.
It was the same. I mean, when MMA started happening, there was a whole movement of like, you can't let the women be in MMA. And it was like, well, why not? There's women who want to fight each other. Why can't they fight each other? And the answer was
what are we talking about?
Women aren't supposed to fight. This is the whole misogyny I do feel like that's happening when you watch sports, is that you have guys who love Bill Laimbeer who don't like it that now there are Bill Laimbeers in the WNBA. But that, like, I'm not saying that the game should be that way. I personally think the NBA now, without all the dumb football player fouls, not like the football players are dumb. I'm saying that, like, that's not basketball. Playing basketball with clobbering guys with clotheslines, that is not basketball to me.
And the fact that,
and I don't think it should happen in the WNBA either, but it's weird that the guys who wish the 80s and 90s of the NBA were back don't like it when they watch the 2026 WNBA and they see it happening. Because it doesn't just happen to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
That's the only highlight you see because you never watch the game. Tyvus, you watch the WNBA. Is it just her games where they're physical?
No, because actually I watched Angel Reese go up against Isabel Harrison. They used to be teammates in Chicago, and they had like a little beef going on, and them two got after it in their game.
Yeah.
They talked about it for 15 seconds, and that was the end of it. So I don't...
Of course. course.
What's the problem here? I don't know. Like I said, Caitlin Clark has been unbelievable to the WNBA. I love the way she talks. You know, she never brings up race in it in anything. Like, she's all for protecting, you know, black community, white community, all of that. So, the race has nothing to do with any of it. I don't know why he even went there with that. But, like, the thing about Caitlin Clark is that I think people saw what she was in college and saw the things that she was doing, and they just instantly thought, oh, my goodness, like, she's like Steph Curry. Like, she's shooting from the yard.
Right.
And she's just going to go to the WNBA and just become the best player there. And the reality is that she's not. She's the most popular person for sure.
And she's very good.
And she is a really good player. But she's not the best WNBA basketball player.
No.
So she's going against grown women and, like, much better defenders than she faced in college. Like, women that have been doing this for years and that will take on the challenge of a new face coming into the league and wanting to stop her. And
I feel like some of this dialogue, too, has to do with...
I don't know what they want, though. Like...
Well, there's no consistency.
I don't know what fans want to happen. Like, I don't...
I think that's the part I'm confused about. I do think there is a decent amount of people who are coming to the WNBA who are like, I am here to watch Caitlin Clark, Caitlin Clark only. If Caitlin Clark's not playing, I'm not watching. So they watch her games only. They don't have any perspective on the rest of the league.
Because
is this league so physical towards Caitlin Clark? It's only towards her. And it's like, you haven't watched enough of these games. By the way, one of the people who got into a lot of hot water last year for taking unnecessary shots at Caitlin Clark was Ohio State alumni J.C. Sheldon, who last I checked, there's no racial boundaries there between the two of them. So, like, that this is just an uneducated, I think a little bit misogynistic, but definitely uneducated take from Boomer Esiason and others who bring this stuff up and say only Caitlin Clark gets this treatment.
But I don't understand.
It's not true.
From a competitor standpoint, like, are you just said that there is fans that's going to tune into this game just to watch Caitlin Clark? That's the only reason that they're going to turn it on.
I think there are.
There 100% is.
Yeah.
Okay, me as a player, knowing how popular this person is, you don't think that if I got a chance to go up against Caitlin Clark, I'm going to try to be as physical and try to stop her as much as possible? Because if you're coming to see her and then you see she only has 0 points, man, I wonder who checked her that game.
Yes.
Oh, snap, it was Tyvis Powell. Oh, who is that? Let me follow his career. Like, I'm trying to get my rep and my popularity up off of her as well.
Everybody's
going to be gunning for her. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
What do we say about every team? Like, this year, the Patriots, they had a great year last year, right? Made to the Super Bowl, had all the accolades, easiest schedule. This year, their schedule gets harder. But what is everybody going to say about the Patriots if they struggle this year? They're going to say, oh,
they had an easy schedule last year.
Yeah, but now every team, you're getting their best shot.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not creeping up against the AFC champs. Yeah. Right. Like, anytime a team gets good, the next year it's like, oh, you're going to get their best shot. Caitlin Clark's been getting everyone's best shot since the moment she got in the league because of the hype she had coming in. Right or wrong, people looked at her and said, I want to be able to stop Caitlin Clark. And yes, is there a physicality there? Did it cross a line? The one yesterday or the day before, whenever that game was?
Yeah, that
crossed a line.
For sure.
But, like, the notion that it's a bigger conversation than just that, I don't recall these conversations with Grayson Allen or with Draymond Green. It's just like...
They had Draymond Green got the conversation. Grayson Allen also got a conversation.
But the conversations were... Are they just crossing a line because they're not good basketball players?
No, they weren't telling players, you know what, the NBA doesn't appreciate you. You should go overseas.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's asinine. Did not happen.
It's like, crazy talk.
Yeah, it is crazy talk. It's loser talk too. All right, we'll come back. We're going to talk to Dylan Tyre. Covers the Blue Jackets, obviously, part of the Blue Jackets radio network, and of course is also on here on The Fan. We will talk with him in 2 minutes about what's going on with the Jackets today. T-Bone and Tyvis on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday. No crashes on the map right now. Busy traffic on 315 near campus and on 71 downtown, but we remain crash and problem free on your Friday. I'm 10 TV's Amy Stuggerwald with your Fan Traffic.
543. T-Bone and Tyvis is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. The only contraband hiding in Tyvis's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
Now joining us, the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, Dylan Tyre, who's from the Blue Jackets Radio Network, and of course right here on the Fan. Dylan, good morning. And we were wondering if there was smoke around this Zach Werenski thing. Don Waddell's comments yesterday made us all kind of take notice that, yeah, I mean, the Jackets have to figure out what they're doing with Zach Werenski. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. I think so for sure, and it obviously goes without saying, no matter what organization it is or what general manager you are, you always need to know what's going on with your best players. So there was smoke. It started kind of out of the media, which is, it was kind of strange how it started, right? Because Pierre LeBrun initially had kind of reported that Zach Werenski may be seeking something different with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And at that point, it was kind of like, whoa, we hadn't heard anything about this, or it hadn't even really been a thing. But obviously, where there is smoke, there has to be a little bit of something. But in saying that, since then, there really hasn't been a whole lot of clarity around the NHL, whether it's from Don Waddell himself or from some of the other, you know, NHL insiders. Everybody's still kind of like, well, we're not quite sure what's going to happen with Zach Werenski. It sounds like he's willing to see what the Blue Jackets do to improve their team. And, you know, at least from my perspective, that has always been the case with Zach Werenski, that he loves being in Columbus. He loves being a Blue Jacket. You know, he's loyal to this organization, and I think he wants to make it work here. I think he just wants a little bit of clarity going forward for what this is going to look like. It doesn't take a genius to look around the rest of the NHL and see what some of these teams are doing. You know, the Florida Panthers are loading up. The Carolina Hurricanes just won the Stanley Cup, and they still want to be aggressive this offseason and acquire more talent. You know, the Blue Jackets need to do the same thing to compete, so I think Zach just wants to see that.
You know, Dylan, I'm looking forward to the draft tonight. Last year, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors about them trading both picks in the first round to maybe package them up to get a player or something like that. Obviously, they ended up selecting somebody. Again, today, we hear that there is some smoke and mirrors about them trading the 14th pick. With your gut feeling, do they trade the pick or do they make a selection?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think the Blue Jackets will end up making the selection. I think the Blue Jackets end up making a pick tonight, but I would not be surprised to see the 14th overall pick in play with me already saying that I think they'll make the pick. Last year, there was a ton of noise, you know, not just around the Blue Jackets potentially moving their picks for talent, but really the rest of the NHL. Like every offseason for the last few years, it's really sounded like, oh, this is going to be the one that all the trades happen. There's going to be so much movement. Things are going to happen that you would never expect. And nothing really happened. That's what we saw last year. Well, this year has been exactly that. Like, it has been crazy around the NHL, all the player movement, and I would expect that to continue today. Like, there are still a lot of big names out there. Jason Robertson from Dallas is a big one. Dylan Larkin still hasn't been moved. Darnell Nurse, he was one of the first guys to request a trade a couple of weeks ago from Edmonton. His name is still out there. So I think we could still see a lot. The Blue Jackets could certainly be involved. I would love to see them add more talent. But I think right now my gut tells me they make that draft pick.
Dylan Tyre joining us in the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Tonight, by the way, on the Fan, Blue Jackets draft special from 7 to 9 p.m. So we will have all the coverage for you there as well with whatever happens in the draft. The Jackets make the pick, trade the pick. We'll get all the reactions there. So they also made a move yesterday, Dylan. Valeri Nichushkin comes in from the Avs. The Jackets don't trade any actual players in this deal. They get picks traded instead. These are the types of moves. He's got his off-ice issues for sure, but on the ice, been a really solid player for the Avs. I think these are the types of moves that the Jackets have to make if they're going to make the playoffs and make a push, right?
100%. This makes the Blue Jackets better on the ice. You know, this is a guy in Valeri Nichushkin that in his career, he was a little bit of a late bloomer. He was the 10th overall pick by the Dallas Stars back in 2013. Played a couple of seasons in the NHL and then actually left for Russia. Played in the KHL for two seasons, but then came back, and his game came alive when he became a member of the Colorado Avalanche. He won the Stanley Cup with Colorado back in that 2021-2022 season. He was a huge part of their run. Very, very important during the Stanley Cup playoffs. He had 9 goals and 15 points in 20 games when they won that Stanley Cup. And, you know, he's had his issues staying on the ice. You mentioned some of the off-ice stuff. He's dealt with some nagging lower body injuries at times, but when he is available, he's one of the most underrated forwards in the NHL, and I'm not just talking offensively. You know, he averages over 30 goals per 82 games these last 5 seasons, but he is maybe the most underrated defensive forward in the National Hockey League. He's received Selke votes. You don't often hear that for a winger, but he has received Selke votes as the best defensive forward in the NHL. And he's got that size. You know, he has size, skill, strength in that defense. And I really think it fits what the Blue Jackets are trying to do going forward. He's a bona fide part of your top 6. So I really like the ad.
Dylan, let's go back to the Zach Werenski situation. Let's say that it does come to the point where they do have to trade him. You know, he says that, you know, he doesn't see the future. What do you think would be have to be included in a package to get the Don Waddell to hit green, go on the trade?
Man, oh man, I think it would be probably close to one of the biggest returns in NHL history. Like, it's a tough question for me to answer because I don't know what it would look like because it would look so big. Like, I think Don Waddell yesterday, we talked to him, and I got the sense that, you know, hypothetically, if he had to trade Zach Werenski, he would want to squeeze teams to get some roster players they normally would not want to trade back. So that's what it sounds like to me, that if that were to happen, and he even posed his own hypothetical, you know, because people have talked about this. Why are you saying you're going to meet with Zach Werenski after the draft? Wouldn't you want clarity before the draft so you could potentially get draft picks? It sounds to me that Don doesn't want draft picks. He wants to keep the Blue Jackets competitive no matter what happens. So I would imagine you're going to get some pretty talented, you know, younger players that have very bright futures. I think that's what the deal would be centered around. There would potentially be draft picks involved, but I mean, you look at what Brady Tkachuk just fetched, 3 first round picks. That's before the draft. Well, you're talking about the Norris Trophy winner, the best defenseman in the NHL this last season, and Zach Werenski. So the package would be massive.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, when Matthew Tkachuk, his brother, was traded from Calgary down to Florida, wasn't it Jonathan Huberdeau that went back in that? Like, and at the time, I know that didn't really turn out for Calgary, but that was a pretty big swing, right? I mean, like, that was a solid player coming back for him. It was
It wasn't just Jonathan Huberdeau. They also got Mackenzie Weegar, the defenseman in that deal, who's actually now a member of the Utah Mammoth. So, yeah, at that point, that was a massive deal. And that was the case for Calgary at that time, remember, is that, you know, they wanted to stay competitive. So they wanted talent in return. And that's what they got in Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau. Like you said, it hasn't necessarily worked out for Calgary because they lost some other pieces later on as well, and now they're more of a rebuilding team. But yeah, it would be that is kind of what Don laid out yesterday, that, you know, if it had to happen, I don't think you're looking at draft picks coming back. He wants to get players coming back.
Yeah, which makes sense to me.
Dylan, make the pick at 14. Who you if you was Don Waddell, who you taking?
So I'll give you a couple names at 14 because to me, I think the Blue Jackets go with a forward. This draft is really, really deep when it comes to the defensemen. But I think the Blue Jackets like what they have in the prospect pool defensively right now. So I'm looking at a big power forward, whether it's Oscar Hemming. He's a Finnish forward that just finished up his freshman season at Boston College. So he's over here in the States playing. He's a big kid, 6'4", 204-pound left wing. One of the younger players in this draft. He's big, he's strong, he's a good skater. But the offensive output wasn't really there at BC, which maybe is to be expected for a freshman coming from overseas for the first time. He had 8 points in 19 games at Boston College. The other guy that I really like is Ethan Belchek. He is huge. 6'5", 230-pound left wing from the Windsor Spitfires. He played in the OHL as a 16-year-old at 6'5", 220 pounds, so he's very physically mature. He broke his clavicle and ended his season early last year, but he had really good numbers in 57 games, 34 goals and 59 points. He has skill and scoring touch for a guy that's that big. His play may be a little bit inconsistent later in the season. He's drawn some comparisons to Matthew Knies. His name happens to be out there as well. Ahead of the draft, when it comes to trades, he's a big power forward from the Toronto Maple Leafs. A lot of people around the NHL love Matthew Knies. So, you know, if the Blue Jackets were able to get a guy like Ethan Belchett, and he turned out to be like Matthew Knies, I would say that is a boon for the CBJ. So if he were to be there at 14, I'm not sure he's going to be. I think Ethan Belchett would probably be my pick.
Blue Jackets draft special tonight, 7 p.m. right here on the Fan. We'll have all the coverage for you. Dylan, we appreciate the info and the time. We'll talk again soon.
Of course. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day and go Jackets.
There you go. Go Jackets. Dylan Tyre, obviously Jackets radio. You hear him on the coverage and, of course, on the Fan here as well. Come back and hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday. Right now we're watching a disabled vehicle blocking the right shoulder of 70 westbound just past Broad Street. Other than that, everything is looking right up to speed across your central Ohio interstates. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan traffic.
Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Remember the time producer Dylan said that Alabama should be in the playoffs and that Tyvus started yelling at him? Those were good times. And remember later that day when Tyvus punched him in the face? Oh, classic stuff. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program, arguably the most important guy on Bishop and Friends. I know that it's Bo Bishop's show. But without this guy, Bo Bishop wouldn't be on the air. Ryan Baker, the touchdown maker.
I don't know if any of that is true or not, and I feel like that's you just trying to make up for snubbing me earlier today.
Oh, my goodness. So, Ryan Baker's upset because I didn't put him in
the top three. It doesn't matter to
me. Top three what?
Funniest people at the station.
See, this is what I had the problem with, Bake. Because I said something to him. And then he goes to me, he says,
you might be one of the three
funniest. And I said, oh, three funniest people he's ever met? Three funniest people in his life currently? No. Might be one of the three funniest people here at the radio station. And I was just like, wow.
How is that an insult? Tyvus,
you might be one of the best football players I've worked with in mornings.
Hit the X. You worked with Joshua Perry.
That's why I said might. I'm just saying, might. I worked with Michael Bennett.
He came in here for a big time.
I worked with plenty of other guys here.
You know what y'all problem is?
What's that?
Y'all sensitive.
I'm not sensitive.
I know. I'm just saying. I feel like that I said is a skill issue on my part. I got to be undeniable. Apparently,
if somebody said that about me, you know what I say?
What's that?
Great. Life isn't a rehearsal. What does that even mean?
What kind of old white man thing did you just do?
That's the point of it.
Life isn't a rehearsal.
Life isn't a rehearsal.
Hey, everybody.
You know what Tyvus sounds like he needs again?
B-T-O.
Get his mind right.
He should still be on. He should have like two more weeks of leave after this.
Baker.
Yes, sir.
We opened up our show today, and T-Bone was explaining that people who work 9-to-5 jobs is already thinking about 5 p.m. before they even get to work. That's all they're thinking about is the end of the show or the end of the shift.
Yeah.
Are you like that when it comes to the radio? T-Bone clearly is. He admitted it.
I didn't say that about me.
I don't think so. But I mean, they made a song about working for the weekend, Tyvus.
Yeah, that's what I told
him. What's the song?
I just don't know what that is. Like, everybody's working 7 days a week.
That's what I'm saying. Especially in the fall. What is this break that
you aren't working 7 days a week right now.
Yeah, I am. Being a dad is a full-time job.
You're not getting any money for that. You're always on call. You're not getting any money for
that's,
that. And if that
thing,
was the
they
case,
call that a thankless
and
job.
And if that was the case, you would still be on paternity leave.
T-Bone needs me.
Of course I need him.
See?
But I also need to be, I need to be in that top three is also what I need. And Tyvus, I don't know how you've never heard this.
What is this?
Most famous Saturday Night Live skit ever.
Loverboy.
Working on the weekend.
Working for the weekend. You've never heard this song.
Patrick Swayze, Chris Farley.
I got it. Let me hear it. I think I have. Yeah, for sure.
Seen this Saturday Night Live skit?
I don't watch Saturday Night Live.
This Patrick was a classic. Swayze and
do
Chris
I look
Farley.
Like I watch Saturday
Night
Live.
First of all,
what time does Saturday Night Live come on?
Tyvus, that's
a serious question.
Tyvus, this is 30 years of video on the
what
internet.
What time does Saturday Night Live?
It's 11:35. Tyvus, his point is,
I have not seen 11:30 on the clock, and probably.
Listen to it.
It's probably been 15 years since I seen 11:30 on the clock.
No, you should go look up the sketch with Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley at the height of his powers. We're just doing a radio show. Go look it up.
Let's see.
Where they're at the Chippendales audition. This is the song they play as they say, guys, it's a really tough call between Patrick Swayze, one of the most handsome men alive at the time, and then Chris Farley, who's a big fat slob. And the whole joke is they're like, it's such a tough call. Both of you are great. We can't decide which of you should be the male stripper we hire. And so then they both are like, well, good luck, buddy. And then Patrick Swayze rips his shirt off, does a dance. And then Farley tries to outdo him, and he's just a big blubbering, you know, slob.
So it's like you and I.
Maybe you guys should do that for Halloween next year.
If me and T-Bone stand side to side, we look like the number 10.
My two best friends. My two best friends a few years ago did that. They went as that did the dance and everything.
That's
they won.
Good.
They won multiple Halloween costumes that year.
I bet they did. That's good. Yeah, you got to look it up, Tyvus. All right. So what do you guys have on the docket today, Vake?
Ross Bjork spoke yesterday, so we'll have a lot of talk about that. A lot of money runs through the Ohio State athletic programs, if we didn't know already. And then maybe, unfortunately, can't believe I'm saying this, we have to talk jackets. Don Waddell, this Zach Werenski story was nothing yesterday.
I was too.
It's not nothing after hearing Don Waddell talk. So we'll have to talk about that as well. JP in again for Bo.
Okay. There you go. Joshua Perry joining. He'll be there. Bishop and Friends 9 to noon right here on the fridge. On the what?
The fridge.
The fridge? Man,
on the fridge?
Look at you. Your mind really, just stay on food.
It was back on the weekend, I think, is where I
mean, cold takes.
Shut down your throat.
It's time for the Buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
I can't believe we didn't even talk about this today because I'm dumb and there was all this other stuff going on. I was locked in on Jackets trading possibly the franchise away. Was locked in on Ross Bjork, like Bake said, talking about building a new facility. I was locked in on our guys from Ecuador back in Columbus after beating Germany 2-1 yesterday. U.S. soccer not getting it done yesterday, but that's all right. They rested all their guys. They'll be good for Bosnia-Herzegovina next week. We didn't even get to the fact that the Charlotte Hornets, or as common man likes to call them, Charlotte Hornets, traded LaMelo Ball away to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Naz Reid.
Who called that?
You called that. Okay. Well, did you say Naz Reid would be part of the deal?
I didn't say Naz Reid, but I just said LaMelo Ball should go to the Timberwolves because they're looking for a guard. And literally,
does that make any sense to you?
No. It would be fun to watch.
Fun to watch as they lose the first round of the playoffs when LaMelo Ball
potentially
just takes all the shots that should be going to Anthony Edwards.
Jay McDaniels was the reason that they was even balling in the playoffs.
I don't get it.
How about the last couple days LaMelo Ball's had? He gets traded and finds out his parents are splitting up after 30 years.
Right. Yes, there's that too. That's a whole. Yeah,
I found out my parents split up at 5 when I was like 5.
Tyvus, not everything's about you.
Yeah, that's Tyvus, get to the weekend. You need to go back. Go see Baby Trace.
Sorry, me and Bone aren't funny enough for you.
Yeah, apparently not. We'll try to work on some jokes over the weekend, maybe, Baker. We'll see if we can get better. All right, Bishop and Friends is next. Have a great rest of your Friday. We'll talk to you Monday. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. Just tracking one issue on 70 westbound. Just passing Broad Street, the right shoulder is blocked off because of a disabled vehicle. But everything else looking very clear across your Central Ohio roadways. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan traffic.